will be fun.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Barack Obama, the son of a black man from Kenya and a white man from Kansas.
Ding, fries are done. Ding, fries are done.
And now, so you are looking forward to this?
I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to it.
Our feature presentation.
Dora Kambo Dorinko Doriamo Doriamo Dora Kinda Shinda Dorio Eomos Tiamos Tishinda High Lok Definda Shanda Gonda Lita Banda Honda Pinde.
They gave that man a radio show. That guy right there talks into a microphone where people can hear it on their radios.
Yeah, that's what you gotta love about K-Rock, right? Where else could that guy be? Only here.
Mike, you know Jed the Fish better than we do. Is it just drugs? Is it just the residual effects of a long, long life of abusing drugs? Or what's happening there?
No.
Has he been touched?
A lot of times in show business, people throw around...
Is he screaming out in pain? What's going on?
A lot of times people throw around the word eccentric. Mm-hmm. And that's like a code word for he's crazy or he's an a-hole.
Yeah.
With Jed, he really fits the mold. He's just an eccentric person. He's, yeah. I think, since he was very young, marched to the beat of his own drum. And okay. he's ridiculously smart. I think he has a very, very, very high IQ, and I think sometimes that plays against him. You know, he doesn't have the ability to really fit in with normal circles,
right?
Because he's thinking in such a different way,
right?
And I think that's and also it. You know, massive amounts of Quaaludes and acid couldn't have helped,
right? Right. Is he harmless or is he somebody that yes. we need to worry about?
I think Jed the Fish is very harmless. I think he's
okay.
off his rocker, but I like Jed very much, and he's harmless, yes.
Exactly. We are going to take your calls, by the way, for the Thursday morning edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. It works like this. You pick up the phone, dial us up, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize, and today it's going to be a Snuggie. You can call on any topic that you feel needs to be discussed on the radio. Lisa, what is the date today, by the way?
Today would be the 26th of March. Bow, bow.
It's time to face the whole.
All right. Before we go to your calls for Kevin Means What to Do Nephew, I saw this story yesterday, and I need to read it just so I can see how infuriating it makes Psycho Mike.
Okay.
The place is in Michigan. It is a baseball park home to the West Michigan Whitecaps, who are preparing to start a new season. And they've got a couple of new items available for food purchase if you go to the ballpark.
Okay.
And they got a new hamburger that they're doing up there, a little special snack that you can buy if you go to the ballpark. And here's what's on it, Mike, and I just want you to kind of keep track in your head. You tell me at what point you think maybe it's perhaps not healthy, maybe not good for you to eat this particular food item.
Okay.
Because, you know, not all food at the ballpark is bad. There's usually some stuff you can get that's okay to eat every once in a while.
Sure.
Right? Tell me about the burger here. Well, there's 5 beef patties on it.
Seems excessive, but
5 slices of cheese.
Okay.
And French fries.
Yeah.
On the burger.
Yes, on the burger. Right. Chili, salsa, sour cream, a bun made from a pound of dough. Let's see here. What else? It has 300 grams of fat.
Oh, my God.
744 milligrams of cholesterol. More than 10,000 milligrams of sodium.
Oh,
and over 4,800 calories. That would be okay, right?
Yeah.
you want one, right?
For a family of 4, if they shared that for a day, that would be a good breakdown.
Like if that's all they eat for the whole day?
Yeah. If the whole family of 4 ate that burger just in a day.
Well, they do offer a free T-shirt for the team to anyone who eats the whole burger by himself. But... Wow. Could you eat that much food? I mean, is it possible to eat that much?
Oh,
one
yeah.
time?
Oh, yeah. There's dudes that could.
There are dudes who could do that?
Oh, yeah. Because it's a high in calories and fat and stuff, but it's dense. It's not like it's all that much food to power down. It's that the food that's there is really calorically dense and, you know, high in fat and stuff.
I don't know. It looks like a lot. I mean, it looks like it weighs several pounds. It looks like it'd be a lot of food to try to eat.
When the Rose Bowl teams go to Lowry's for the Beef Bowl before the Rose Bowl, some of those offensive linemen and those more muscular defensive backs and stuff, they put away pounds and pounds and pounds of prime rib, and it, without even blinking an eye. I mean, these are machines of destruction.
Yeah. You do see in the steakhouses, you know, some of those steakhouses around the country, they've got that deal where they have a, you know, like a 96-ounce steak or something like that, and they offer, you know, you get it for free if you if you eat the whole thing and stuff.
Right.
But it's unbelievable that they sell this, and I guess that what they're expecting is they'll do exactly what you said, Mike, which is that they'll, you know, bring a knife and fork or something, cut it up and serve the whole family.
Just put it down. There's a 64-ounce steak challenge in a steakhouse near Palm Springs that I won.
Did you really?
Yeah, did you really?
Like 19, and I was like drunk after I finished. I mean, I was like hallucinating. I couldn't
drunk
even stand
on
up.
Meat?
I couldn't stand up straight, and it was tough. But I got my little name on a plaque that I'll never see again.
Well, that was worth it. All right, one more question. Then we're going to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. How long does it take you? How many days does it take you to put away 4,800 calories that somebody would get from eating this burger in 1 hour?
Me personally?
Yeah.
That's 2.5 days for me.
Fantastic.
I'd say about a 2,200 clip. So
honestly, all right. It doesn't even sound good. It's just too much crap on it.
Yeah, it does sound like you
could be good.
Space that out a little bit for more meals. Like, it would be fine to sit down and have chili and fries one day. It'd be fine to sit down and have a cheeseburger one day, but you don't necessarily put them all together.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
What the hell is the sour cream and the salsa doing on it, you know?
That's a good point.
It seems like they threw everything at once. All right, 1-800-520-1067. How about Kevin Amin's What It Do Nephew for a Thursday? Hit it, Steve.
Come on.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
Once again today, get on the air, get a prize. How about your very own Snuggie? You'll never be trapped under that awkward blanket again while trying to watch TV. It's maybe the best invention in the world. Millions sold. You get yours for free. Why don't we start with Joe in Glendora, please? He's on line one this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. I think he's also got a food-related item he wants to share with us. Hey, Joe, welcome to the show. What it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hey, I was watching the show Man vs. Food last night, and in Arizona, there's this thing called the Burrito Zilla, and it's a 17-inch burrito filled with up to 6 pounds of rice, beans, guacamole, and your choice of meat. It's just monstrous, and this guy put it down in under 4 minutes.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine.
Wow.
I don't know if you guys have seen the show. He just goes and tries all these different places where they just throw – the contests are just ridiculous. It's so much food.
Six pounds of food in 4 minutes doesn't even seem possible. But, I mean, some of these competitive eaters, some of these guys, they astound you with what they're able to do.
Yeah. It's like he just opens his throat and shovels it in.
That's what
Whoa.
She said?
That's what
all he right. said. Exactly. Thank you for the call. Let's try Derek and Walnut on line six. Another food question for you or comment. Derek, hi, you're on the air. What it do?
Yeah, Derek.
Hey, what it do, baby blue? What it do,
nephew? What it do?
I actually ate a 2-pound burger once.
2-pound burger?
Yeah.
Why?
Were you that hungry
it.
Or was it just a dare?
No, it was actually I was that hungry. But the trick is if you eat it all, you get it for free. And I didn't have any money. So.
No.
I ate it all.
So you had to.
Yeah.
It does seem like, I don't know if there are very many places in Southern California that offer that deal where you get it for free if you eat it, but it seems like that would be a gold mine for homeless dudes, right?
Oh, that's a good
point.
You
got no money, you got no food.
Sure.
Why not go in there like every 3 days and chow down?
I like it.
Thanks for the call, dude. Appreciate it. Let's try Chris in San Gabriel on line two, changing topics, talking about a new TV show. Hey, Chris, what'd it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
All right, so I don't really watch a lot of live TV, but I usually try to TiVo life, and my TiVo's not working. So I was watching or waiting for it to come on, and this show, The Chopping Block or whatever, with this crazy chef who wears a suit and, like, Vans and no socks. I don't know if you guys ever seen it.
I haven't watched the show, but I have seen the commercials. They advertise it a lot on TV, and it just looks awful.
It all right, who writes the dialogue for these reality TV shows? Because I was watching it, and they had, like, a cook-off between the two teams, and they got critiqued by all these patrons or whatever. And then he comes in, and he's like, well, you know, the critics loaded the gun, but I'm the assassin, the chef assassin. I was like, what the hell? Is reality TV shows, are they really that stupid, or is it just that one?
Oh, no, they really are.
They really are. Well, you know, ever since Survivor, which kind of, you know, sorry, wasn't the first reality show, but kind of reinvigorated the genre a few years ago, and they came out with, what is it they say when they snuff your torch out?
I don't even remember.
You're a goddamn whore. That's what they say, right?
I don't think that's what it is.
I haven't seen it in so long.
The tribe has voted or something like that?
20 seasons.
Maybe
yeah, the tribe
it.
Has spoken. Okay.
Yeah.
So ever since that, now everybody has to have their elimination catchphrase, you know? And maybe that's what you're talking about on the chopping block here, but there's just a million variations of the way that they ask to leave, you know? Oh, your TV show hasn't been renewed. Oh, you're... dog's going to the cleaners. I mean, whatever it is they say, it's all retarded. But I haven't watched that show. I mean, Top Chef is the only cooking show that works for me, to tell you the truth. Everything else just seems like it's guys screaming at guys about food.
Yeah,
and
it's just a
and this one, is that what this one's like, too? It's just guys screaming at guys?
No, it's like, I guess there's like teams, like couples or something like that. Like, there's like one team that's made up of like three couples and another team that's made up of three couples, and they were like eliminating the couples or something like that. And I was just like, this is just really bizarre that, you know, I have to wait to watch Life.
Yeah.
Well,
you gotta get that DVR fixed, dude.
Seriously.
Can't accidentally have to watch bad shows.
Man vs. Steak in Las Vegas, or the Monte Carlo Casino in Las Vegas, it's like 120 ounces.
Oh!
It's all you can, if you can finish it, you don't pay for it. If you don't, it's like $270 or something like that.
Oh my God.
So hopefully I'm going to be trying to do that like in the next couple of months. So if I do it, I'll probably call in and say, hey, I ate it and I fell over and died or something. I don't know.
Do they have a no reversals policy?
I don't know. We're hoping that we can like videotape it or something like that. So if we do, I'll just like email it in or something.
Yeah,
show you guys.
Absolutely.
So go look it up. It's a huge mountain of steak. It's crazy.
Mike, can you cause permanent damage from doing something like that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I would imagine that stretching the stomach to a point that you could maybe could tear it could happen, right? I mean, that just seems somewhat
20
plausible.
Ounces isn't anywhere near enough to do that. Your stomach has a greater capacity than that.
I don't know.
Well, it's like 6 pounds.
Yeah, no, it definitely has a greater capacity than 120 ounces because, what? Yeah, how would you say it? Volume-wise, you got to remember, you can eat so much more volume.
Oh, that's
wise.
True.
It's not just about
salad.
Weight. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's true. All right, then
dude,
you won't die.
Be careful with that, but let us know how it goes, all right? Thanks for the call.
All right, take care.
All right, appreciate that. On today's Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday morning, we got a lot of good stuff for you, including more tickets for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, which is going to be at the Gibson Amphitheater, which is 1 week from tomorrow night. We'll give you a chance to earn those tickets this morning. Speaking of funny people, how about Dennis Leary on the radio show today? He, of course, has a TV show called Rescue Me, and he's been a stand-up and best-selling author for years. He's coming to town on a comedy tour. We'll talk to Dennis. Former sports guy Matt Money Smith is going to be on the show today, getting us a preview for this weekend. Actually, I guess it's starting tonight, the Sweet 16 of the NCAA men's college basketball tournament.
Mm-hmm.
The great Billy Mays on the program Woo-hoo! Today. The world's greatest TV pitch man is going to be here. He's got a new TV show, and maybe he'll bring some Mighty Putty with him today. Got an update on Michael Jackson with crazy stuff that's going on with him. A new list that we found of items that you don't want to see in a new boyfriend or girlfriend's bedroom.
Oh, this
when you
list
get to the boyfriend
great.
Or
yes.
girlfriend's bedroom and you see this item, their advice is run for your life because it's nothing but bad news.
Yep.
And of course, I guess I've told you guys this before, but I've got that lampshade made of human skin. I had one girl just ran out screaming when she saw that one time years ago.
Oh, well, she wasn't for you.
What a Philistine. She cannot appreciate art. She cannot
appreciate art. That's what I tried to say, but she left before I could even chain her up, so it was awful. Anyway, all of that plus more tickets for The Offspring. They go on sale this Saturday morning for their show coming up June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, but you don't care about that because you're going to win your tickets and be qualified for destination number 7 of K-Rock's World Tour 2009, which is The Offspring in the city of your choice around the world. Your chance to qualify for that and win your Offspring tickets coming up. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat next on K-Rock. Can we just start calling him the late, great Scott Weiland now, or do we have to wait? Is there a policy on that? No, I'm just asking. I mean,
Jesus
it's
Christ.
It's a matter of time. I'm just...
Wow.
I miss that dude. He was cool. STP on K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ, Nirvana, Kings of Leon, and Red Hot Chili Peppers. Sounds about right. Coming up at the 6 o'clock hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a new day. What's going on, Ralph?
Remember how Lindsay Lohan tried to tell us that the reason she couldn't get her career on track is because we all care too much about her personal life?
Yes.
That's the problem, is that we pay too much attention to what she's doing with her girlfriend and not enough to her work as an artiste.
Yes.
Lindsay Lohan.
Well, it may be. Part of the problem may be that she makes horrible films now, too.
Has she been working? I mean, has she made a movie?
She made a movie in 2007 called I Know Who Killed Me.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The stripper movie, yeah.
That was a flop. Mm-hmm. She recently lost out on a role in the new Alice in Wonderland movie that Tim Burton is making. She had to pull out of a Dylan Thomas biopic called The Edge of Love, was replaced by Sienna Miller. So she made a movie called Labor Pains about a woman who fakes a pregnancy in order to keep her job. It's a hilarious comedy.
Oh, boy.
Just announced by the company, it will not be released into cinemas here in the United States. Instead, will premiere on cable television.
Oh.
And then go directly to DVD in August.
Ouch.
So there you go, Lindsay. Mm. That had nothing to do with you and Sam.
The sad thing is, and Ralph, you've made this point before, is that, I don't know if it's possible anymore, if she's too far gone, she used to be a very talented actress with a lot of promise.
Yep, absolutely.
She, whoever she has, if she has people left, they need to go. She needs to find new people.
Being in a Tim Burton movie would have been a
comeback. Way to come back. Yeah.
She also told Nylon Magazine recently that she'd love to become a full-time model if acting doesn't work out.
Because she's 5'6"?
If that. Tyson Beckford, rather, told Us Weekly Magazine when they broke the story to him that she simply doesn't have what it takes to be a model in the fashion industry. He says, this profession looks easy, but she doesn't have the focus it takes to succeed, he says. But she's got the partying part down perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it, Tyson.
Ralph, you think she also burned a lot of bridges in that whole Georgia rule?
Wait a minute, she burns bridges too, besides being crazy?
Pyromaniac.
Oh, no wonder she can't get any work. What?
Do you think she developed a lot of bad blood in Hollywood with that whole Georgia rule mess? And
She was ill-behaved on that set, if you believe the rumors.
Yeah.
Cheesed off Jane
Fonda.
Isn't
that where the letter
others.
Was written?
Yeah. The producer wrote a letter.
Yeah.
James Robinson wrote a public letter saying she's
James Robinson?
Unprofessional. Speaking of movies, I thought we were kidding when we did our hilarious comedy bit about Sean Penn being Larry of the Three Stooges in the new movie.
Yeah.
Had been rumored
for the Three
for a while,
Stooges. The Farrelly brothers are putting together their Three Stooges movie. The casting was announced yesterday, people. Sean Penn as Larry, Jim Carrey as Curly. By the way, Jim has announced he's going to put on 40 pounds. To play Curly.
Really?
Wow.
And as Mo, Benicio del Toro.
I could see him being Mo.
Oh, shut up. You cannot.
You can.
No one can see Benicio del Toro being Mo.
Yes, you can.
Are you insane?
No, kind of.
You're kind
of
insane?
Not that I'm kind of insane, but I can kind of see it.
Benicio del Toro is Mo.
It's going to be funny to be Mo. It's going to be very balanced.
Yeah, I can't understand what the hell he's saying.
Come here, Larry. Yes, come on.
So there's your Three Stooges. That either is going to be the greatest movie ever or the biggest
disaster
bust
ever
in movie
the
history.
The next Ishtar.
Yeah.
Sean Penn is still the wild card, even with those other two guys announced. He's still the one that is going to be the hardest to get into a comedy character, I think.
Really?
I can't picture it at all.
I think he's a great comedian. I think he's been very
funny. We just don't see it much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think he will have the easiest time really pulling this off. Jim Carrey is going to be obnoxious as Curly, I guarantee you. And Benicio del Toro, they're just going to comb his hair forward and say, now what?
Enunciate, sir.
Last night at American Idol, oh, it was Motown week. Oh, Motown, oh.
Yeah.
You can hear those songs forever.
Oh, I have heard them forever.
Watched it yet. Tell me everything.
Apparently, if you believe dialidol.com, and they've been spot on so far this season. This is the company that measures the busy signals of the voting lines, the phone lines, and by that they're able to extrapolate who is in the top and who is in the bottom of the vote-getting list each week. They believe that Scott McIntyre, the blind dude, Megan Joy, the sleeved weirdo chick, and the tubby oil rig worker Michael Sarver will all be at the bottom of the list tonight, and one of them will go.
I think they got it right in terms of what I saw on my TV last night. That would be my bottom three for sure.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But it was just Smokey Robinson back talking to the kids, and they talked about how great Motown was, and they all sang songs from the 60s, and everybody was very entertained.
But Lisa, you'll love Gay Adam, though. He really does surprise you. He does mix it up this week.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, some good performances. Tonight is the voting show. So we'll find out who gets to go home. But also, in addition, you get Joss Stone will being a, be doing a duet with who's that guy? Smokey Robinson.
Smokey Robinson.
Smokey Robinson. Stevie Wonder is going to be performing, and Ruben Studdard.
Wow.
So it's just blacktastic tonight over there on American Idol. Check it out. CSI actress Marg Helgenberger has filed for a divorce from her husband of 19 years, Alan Rosenberg, who is the president of the Screen.
How sad.
The president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
Alan Rosenberg, this news broke on Tuesday, apparently. The couple had been separated for the past couple months and decided they finally can't make it happen. Apparently, Alan was too busy effing members of the Screen Actors Guild in not his wife so much, apparently. He was screwing us over and not screwing his wife at all. So People Magazine says Marge will seek spousal support. How is he going to support her?
She's the one who's working. That's a good question,
She's
been on CSI making a lot of money over the past 10 years, and he's been screwing things up for everyone else. And this is a great story. I mentioned that Leanne Rimes was caught in some scandalous photographs of her in compromising situations with her co-star from that Lifetime movie or whatever the hell she was in.
Yes, yeah, he's married, she's married.
They're both married.
They had a security cam video of them making out at a restaurant over a candlelit dinner.
And they both claimed that it was
running lines.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Preparation for the role.
Just bad circumstances. People were taking things out of proportion. Uh-huh. Eddie Cibrian was the name of the co-star in that film. A lot of people thought that behavior was inexcusable, except for one particular group. Ashley Madison of AshleyMadison.com has offered to give a free lifetime membership to both of those guys for their infidelity dating service, which I just think is very kind of them.
Yeah, you don't want them backing you up when you're trying to tell a story.
And yeah, they're jumping on the bandwagon. Yep. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wow, a bunch of big, big, big stars were born today. Leonard Nimoy. What was that? He's 78 years old today. Alan Arkin, who is so good in Sunshine Cleaning. If you get a chance to see it this weekend, you should seek it out at your movie theater. He is 75 years old. James Caan turned 69. Diana Ross is 65. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith turned 61 years old today. Martin Short turns 59.
Wow.
Amy Smart from Road Trip and Felicity and
Crank.
Yeah, Crank. That was that movie. She's got the second one coming out. Crank 2 is coming out soon. 33 years old today. Keira Knightley, Pride and Prejudice and Pirates of the Caribbean. She is 24 years old today. And actor Michael Imperioli, who played Christopher, of course, on The Sopranos and is so good on Life on Mars. I was watching Life on Mars last night. It's just so sad that show's going away. It was really great this season. Eventually, they'll put it out all on DVD, I guess, the entire series. And you'll be able to check it out, but I recommend it highly. He's really good on that show. He is 43.
Isn't there a sequel to the British version now that puts the cop in the 80s? Have you seen any of that on BBC America?
It's a different cop. It's a female officer.
Same concept, though?
Same concept. She gets traveled back to the early 1980s called Ashes to Ashes, now on BBC. It's really, really good, but I doubt after this failed experiment they will bring that American version to TV anytime soon. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't heard any kind of an announcement, Lisa, that Michael Jackson has started canceling these 50 dates in the UK. But so far, he's still scheduled to play at the O2 Arena.
Oh, give him time.
It just seemed to me like he was perhaps taking on more than he was going to be able to survive. But so far, the concerts are happening, but that doesn't mean that there's not still controversy. Let's go to the phone now. We've got our old friend Michael Jackson joining us, talking about two big stories that are very much in the news today that we need to get his comment on. Hey, Mike. What are you up to? Where are you? I hear a bunch of kids in the background.
Yeah, what's that about?
I'm at Kids R Us.
Oh, Michael.
Are you shopping for the kids, for your children? Are you looking for presents, or what's going on?
I'm at Kids R Us. That's what I call an orphanage. I'm shopping for a child.
Well, don't you already have three young ones at home?
Yes, I have Prince Michael 1, Prince Michael 2, and Paris. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking for another child to add to my family.
No.
Yes.
The Sunday Express newspaper says his life is his children. Wherever he goes, they go. And he says it would be good to have another child. Yes. Contact has been made with an adoption agency in Britain, which has a very good reputation, end quote.
Yes, they have a very good reputation, and so do I.
Uh-huh.
I have a great reputation for children. I'm known to love children. No one loves children more than I do.
No one loves children the way you do, that's for sure.
I love them, and I love them, and I love them, and I love them.
Oh,
and then I take a break and go have a cigarette, and then I come back and I love them, and I love them, and I love them. Look, love them.
I know that you, right, you're a big fan of the kids. I know that you were acquitted, but a lot of adoption agencies are really going to have an issue with giving you another kid based on the charges that were brought against you.
Well, here's the thing. I'm getting bored of the other three. They're so boring. All the time, they're growing up and becoming like people, and that's just not fun. And first of all, they're too big for me to dangle over the side of a balcony.
Can't even lift them anymore.
That's half the fun of a child.
Are they getting too old to say no? Is that part of it?
Are they getting old enough to say no?
That's what I meant. Maybe that's how I should phrase that, yes.
Okay, yeah. Whatever you say.
All right. We can edit that in post. Don't worry about it, Mike.
Good.
So it just seems like a working father, you know, without a mom around, with three young children, would keep you pretty busy. How would you?
Yeah, with all these concerts ahead of you well.
I'm so excited about the shows at the O2 in London. And this is it, by the way. This is it. This is all the shows I'm doing.
This is it.
But it'll be great for them because if I get another child, then they can work security for me.
Well,
I'll give
them
little yellow windbreakers.
I don't know that that's gonna be effective though as security.
Really, if you saw a toddler standing in your way before you go your backstage, you wouldn't knock that child over. You'd say, oh, okay, I just won't go back there.
What about this new controversy, Michael, that's all over the newspapers today about, I guess, some of the plans are leaking out on what you want to do on stage at your O2 shows, and PETA is very much up in arms that you're talking about making your entrance on an elephant.
Yes. Wouldn't that be great to ride into the venue on an elephant?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think what they're saying is maybe it's not any fun for the elephants, and a lot of people have been trying very hard to kind of get animals out of that sort of work because of the crowds and the lights, and it's disorienting. And then you have
to travel around with them. That would be difficult.
I'd love to have an elephant. You know, I love animals, and I always teach them. I had Neverland Ranch. I always had animals around.
Right.
And I asked the elephant if it would be okay, and he said yes.
You can talk to the animals?
Well, actually, he said... I took that as a yes. So PETA, suck it, PETA.
The plan is to ride out on an African elephant with panthers led on gold chains, and this will have parrots and other birds flying behind you as you enter the stage.
Doesn't that sound great?
Well,
that's a spectacle.
And as we all know, elephants and panthers are natural friends.
Sound like you're kind of waiting for a Siegfried Roy accident to happen right there on stage.
They're famous. They get along famously. So I think that'd be a good idea. Maybe I could ride in on a baby. Maybe I could adopt a new baby and just ride in on that. And that way PETA would shut the F up.
Well, there's nothing better than having lots of small children around stampeding elephants and panthers. That's for sure.
I'd like to get several small children just carrying me on their backs into the arena. Just crawl. Oh, you have like a dozen babies who are crawling. I just lay on them. It would be like just like tiny ants moving a giant piece of bread.
I think I may need to see this show after all. Looking down at all I
see. Hey! No, you cannot be trusted with the hay.
No, you can't. We're taking that privilege away from you, Producer Alex.
All right.
That is Kings of Leon on K-Rock. Congratulations to Lindsay Schaefer from Long Beach. Won the Offspring deal. We may be calling her tomorrow to send her around the world to see the band anywhere that they're playing on their tour. All right, here's the deal. AOL Living had an article recently, very interesting, very telling, and something we need to explore here because we're realizing that many of us are guilty of many of the things on this list. The article is the 10 things that you don't want to see in a new boyfriend's room or a new girlfriend's room. I guess you go to their house for the first time and you walk in and you see this stuff in their bedroom. And this list is suggesting that maybe these items make you rethink your choice. It doesn't say how desperate you are to get laid, whether these choices are going to be changed or not. But here are some of the items on the list. And I do find it fascinating how many Lisa May has in her bedroom, for instance. We are going to take your calls if you have any comments about the items that are on this list or things that you like to stay away from if you go home with someone and find it in their bedroom. All right, 10 things that a guy doesn't want to find in her bedroom.
Okay.
Lots of reality TV on DVD.
Check.
Means that that's a type
Miss Cleo.
Of person. Miss Cleo says yes on that. What do you have? You got the Kardashian DVD box sets, right?
I am obsessed with the Kardashians and the Girls Next Door. I have two of the box sets of The Girls Next Door, and The Kardashians is all on my DVR. I can't get enough of them.
So I think what this means
is... I love
is
Khloe. It, F all you all.
You love the man on the show? You love the brother?
I think
the
she's
brother?
So hilarious.
Wow, she looks like Meatloaf.
She does not. You guys are harsh.
So, again, extrapolating, what this means is I walk into Miss Cleo's bedroom and I see all these reality TV DVDs, and I go, well, this is a person who just spends tons of time watching crappy TV. Is this someone that I want to be in a relationship with? It's supposed to be a red flag, basically.
Boop, all right. Boop, boop. And then you look at my boobs. Thanks.
And then I forget all about the reality TV. More than one stuffed animal. You see those girls that maybe have 30 stuffed animals in their room, and maybe that's something to scare you.
I'd also apply that to the car. People put stuffed animals in the car.
Now, I have a few stuffed animals. They're not in my bedroom. They're on the counter by the kitchen, by the phone.
Why?
Just hanging
out.
That's
even worse.
One of them holds some little business cards that a friend of mine did the artwork on. I don't know. Oh, I just like them there. They're cute.
Oh.
Okay. But they're not in my bedroom.
Stuffed animals as art or decoration are a little creepy, I think.
You think?
For adults. Yeah. I do.
No one's ever said anything.
I won't read, because look at your boob. I won't read all of these, Ted, but here's a couple more of things you don't want to find in the woman's bedroom. Ann Getty's baby pictures.
Horrible.
Now, this is an artist.
No! How do you, but Lisa. Not in my bedroom. They're in the bathroom.
No.
They're so cute.
This is a photographer who somehow hit a gold mine when she started taking pictures of, like, a two-year-old dressed like a pumpkin. And for some reason, they're become inexplicably popular. They're on greeting cards. They're on calendars.
It's a little baby in a sink with a shower cap. It's the cutest thing
it's
ever.
It's not your baby, Lisa.
I know that.
They're so creepy. And they're all like asleep in a pea pod or a tulip. What is that?
So cute.
Oh, my God.
No.
Are you a whore?
Anything Twilight-related.
Jack, does that include the books?
Says run.
Lisa, says you're three run. For three. How do you get laid?
And
I just do.
You just do.
You number one, number one on the list of 10 things a guy doesn't want to find in your bedroom is the Bible. I think that's kind of self-explanatory. It doesn't necessarily say party down, good time. All right. Now let's move on to the guys. By the way, again, your calls on this topic, if you've got things you want to add to the list or you want to defend any of the items you've heard on this AOL list, you can call right now.
Yes, you found something we don't know.
Exactly. 1-800-520-1067. All right. Things a girl never wants to find in your bedroom. Some of it just, just makes common sense hygienically. Crappy or creepy bedding, for instance.
Ugh. Yes. Can you just clean it, guys?
Oh,
just
in your bathrooms, guys. By the way,
Dear God.
Drugs and paraphernalia. They're a little bit more obvious, the things on this list, aren't they?
Depends on the girl.
Yeah, it's got some joints or something in there. That's fine.
Food, wrappers, dishes, crusts,
cores, disgusting.
Half-eaten lean pocket, that sort of thing.
The frat boy room, you know?
Not say the frat boy. I was once sleeping with like a wannabe stockbroker, and I woke up, and he had like wrappers and stuff, and I kid you not, I swear there was like a fork. There was a utensil in the bed. I was like, what
sticking
is
into
going
your
on?
Leg. He was actually planning on cooking you. He's Hannibal Lecter, yeah.
You're just lucky you got out of there in the morning.
Exactly.
What else do you never want to find in your new boyfriend's bedroom? How about this? Signs of excessive nerdery. If he has 6 gaming systems or a massive comics collection, Ralph Garman, or action figures, Ralph Garman,
maybe that's
a sign that you don't that you got trouble right there. Although the guy with the 6 gaming systems, I don't know how often he's bringing a chick back to the crib.
You know, I have a friend who he does pretty well, but his entire living room is set up as a gaming room. It's not a living room.
But even
I just think that's I don't know.
But even into
too much.
With today's technology rage, at any time a new game console comes out, everyone goes out and buys it. I don't have a problem so much if they have it. I have a problem if they're using it all the time. They're constantly gaming, then yeah, that's an issue.
In the bedroom playing World of Warcraft as opposed to, playing Tickle and Hide with me, there's a problem.
And I guess a lot of guys, they have it in the bedroom because they don't have a lot of space. It's not like they have a game room. It's not like they necessarily want to junk up the living room or something like that. So they have in their bedroom where it's convenient, where they spend the most time probably, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, here's one, and this totally makes sense. And again, the ones on the guy list I think are a little more obvious, I think, as red flags. Evidence of other girls you don't want to see.
Yeah.
You don't want to see a Lady Bic shaver in his room. You don't want to see pictures of his ex. It says here wadded panties under the pillow. Well, I can understand how. All right, ladies, how about this? So we got some single women in the room. Marital aids, adult videos, girly mags.
That's not that big of a deal.
Everybody's got adult videos, right?
I think it's like the comic books or something. If it's in excess, if you've got like a Playboy or you've got some porn lying around, that's one thing. If you've got a massive collection, I'm like, why am I even
here? And it's all alphabetized. And
I also think you get into trouble when it's prominently displayed. You know, almost yes. all guys have some, but sure. you keep that in your closet until it's time to use it. Yeah. You don't want to leave it lying around for everybody to see.
I would like to add one to the list.
Okay.
Yes.
And I think being Baxter is guilty.
Yes.
What's that?
Men having stuffed animals in their room.
Which you wouldn't normally
Dave
think you'd have
pandas.
To add for men, because men don't do that.
Collection
but
of pandas.
He does.
And being
David is pandas.
With the sock monkey.
I cannot sleep without my sock
monkey. If you have, like, a collector's item toy that's with your other kind of, like, video games or whatever, that's one thing. But don't come in the bed with you and the monkey.
So you and the monkey together, you're a team, essentially.
Well,
is that right?
I sleep with the monkey. I can't sleep without the monkey.
Do you put the monkey between you and Donna or next to you? Like,
it depends. It depends which direction I'm facing.
You separate your wife
so
with the
quite
monkey.
Often between them. And he travels
by the way,
with it, too.
Number one on the list of things you don't want to find. If you're a girl, you go to the guy's room. You don't want to find weaponry is number one on the list.
Yeah, no.
If you can buy it at a Renaissance fair or a fireworks stand, you shouldn't have it anywhere near the people you're trying to get laid with.
That's Omar's house. The
yeah, no kidding. So these are a few of the items. There are some more that we didn't mention, but I'm sure you have others that you could add to the list. Maybe you've got personal experience. You went over there and you saw something that made you rethink the decision to go over there, or if you want to fight back on any of these items, like I'll fight to the death. I'll defend my sock monkey. That's not that's
sure,
not
but
creepy.
You're not having any of us. I'm just telling you that right now.
Shouldn't be a deal breaker at all. I don't think I want any of you if you can't accept my sock monkey. So we'll take your calls after a quick break. 1-800-520-1067. What are the items you never want to find in the new girlfriend or boyfriend's bedroom? We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock. Right now. Talking about those items you never want to see in the new significant other, or perhaps even a one-night stand's bedroom. If you're a guy, there is a whole list of things you don't want to see in a girl's bedroom, and a girl in reverse, the same is true. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You got some items you want to add to the list we were just reading to you. Let's start with Oscar in Azusa. Oscar is on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Oscar, what do you got for us, dude?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hello.
Hey, check it out. I don't want to find any questionable medicine in the girl's bedroom.
Now, what would be on that list of questionable medicine?
Yeah, like either any kind of like crazy pills, like psychotic medication.
Antidepressants.
Yeah,
or
but possibly worse, like, you know, like some kind of yeast infection medication or something. That's pretty dirty.
You want to stay away from Paris Hilton and her Valtrex, maybe. That's a tip right there.
Right.
I got you. All right, dude. Good one. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's try Jake in Venice. He's calling on line 7. He's got another item he doesn't want to see in a girl's bedroom when he goes over. Hey, Jake, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Jake.
I hate to find feminist literature inside my girl's room. They're probably the two biggest turnoffs I've ever found in my life.
What's the other one?
Granny panties.
Oh.
Granny panties, yeah.
Yeah, some chicks have those for when you're not around.
Thanks for the call. Thank you, Jake. Let's
just
try
Kyle. Better.
Kyle in Tahunga is on line 3. Don't some girls, Lisa, and maybe I just learned this from the movies, don't some girls have the granny panties that they wear on dates so that they know that they won't go too far?
I think that's happened, and I have not shaved my legs specifically to make sure I didn't do something that I knew I shouldn't do. Yeah, definitely.
Hi, Kyle. You're on the air. What item are you talking about?
What's up, Kevin? What's up, Bean? What's up, Lisa May?
Hi, Kyle.
All right, so I went home with this girl, and I don't mind toys, but I found a vibrator that was as big as my forearm.
And you knew you could never compete.
It was under the covers, so I didn't even see it until I went into her bed. It was under the covers.
Oh, my God. She didn't even have the sense to hide that?
No.
like I said, I don't mind toys, but not when it's like the King Kong one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Because then you just you feel deflated, right? Literally and figuratively.
I don't blame you, Kyle.
Very good. Thanks for the call. By the way, no women calling on this. I know there have to be things that women have found in a guy's bedroom that have kind of scared him off. There have to be, right?
Absolutely. Guys are
so
creepy.
So far, it's all dudes. Check this one out. Didn't even think about this. Mike is in Long Beach. He's on line 6 on the Kevin Amin Show. Mike, this happened to you. You went to a girl's house. And what happened?
Definitely didn't want to find a crib.
Oh, not a crib. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that how you found out there was a kid?
Well, we went out on the dates, and she said she's got to pick up something from her mom's house, and next thing I know, there's two kids in my back seat.
She had to pick up kids?
Yeah.
All right. Good times. That was the best date you ever had. Thank you for the call. Let's try Mike in Sherman Oaks. He's on line 4. Hey, Mike, what happened to you?
Hey, guys. I found notes hanging on the wall from her other boyfriend in prison.
Okay. Oh. That's when you turn around and walk right out the door.
Yeah, any type of like penal paperwork, you know, and I don't mean penal like penal, I meant like from the jail. A lot of times, you know, women won't mention that. It's, you know, they're embarrassed of the fact that their original man is, you know, locked up.
Locked
but
up.
That's something, if you see that lying around, you know.
It was hanging on the wall.
Oh, that's bad news.
On the wall. Yeah.
So were you basically, you were like a bed warmer until this dude got out? Was that her plan?
I don't know what her plans were. We had gone out a few times, and anytime we'd slept together a couple times, but it was always at my place.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then
right.
The first time I went over to her place, that was up on the wall.
Bad surprise. Yeah. No kidding. That's funny. Thanks for the call. All right, let's try a lady. We got Victoria. She's in Woodland Hills on line 3. This is an interesting item. Hey, Victoria, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you got for us?
Hi, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, Victoria.
Well, Morrissey poster.
Yeah, well, posters of any sort. I mean, don't you outgrow them at some point?
Yeah.
But Morrissey.
Yeah,
that's
Morrissey.
Even worse. Yeah.
Because he's kind of gay.
Yeah.
Well, and your guy might be a little too mopey for you, too, to want to sustain a relationship with. Now, this is interesting. How old was the dude? Do you remember, Victoria?
16.
Well.
Okay, well.
Posters are okay if you're 16.
But still, not Morrissey.
But Morrissey?
Yeah, I'm with you.
DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Hey, we got a couple people who are calling to defend. They've got items on the list, and they want to defend them. Let's try Mike in Costa Mesa. He's on line 1. Hey, Mike, thanks for hanging on. You took offense to one of the items that you never want to find in a guy's bedroom.
I didn't really take offense, but I have some. But I'd say weaponry.
Well, okay, what do you have on your walls?
Well, it's not on my walls. More, I have a cabinet with, you know, some old swords and stuff, and chicks don't seem to mind it. They tend to say, oh, my God, that's cool when I see it. So,
I guess there are different types of items that would evoke a different response. I mean, if you've got something that's kind of like collectible that's on display, that might be different than, you know, you put your hand under the pillow and the guy's got a shotgun.
Right.
You know, that.
You definitely.
Am I right,
that.
Lisa? That would sound like a little different there.
Yeah.
Is that all you have? Are swords?
Yeah, just you know, some swords here and there. I do have some other things, but you know, nothing on display. So, I mean, I guess it's okay.
Yeah. I guess we'll give
hide
you a
the
pass.
Weaponry. Thanks for the call. Kevin is in Simi Valley. He is on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Kevin, you've got an item that you want to discuss as well. What's up?
Yeah, the girls didn't like it. Good morning, first off. Girls didn't like it when they came in my room and there was a panty collection hanging of all the girls I've been with.
Oh, that's classy, what? Kevin. Very classy.
You're joking when you say that.
No, there was at least 20 panties up there from girls that I had been with, and they did not like it.
Well, what the hell did...
What do you think they'd think?
Well, I don't know. It was just a collection that I had for my Playboy summer.
You're a tool.
Yes, exactly.
But you're a tool, though.
Well, I want to add Lisa Mays and Alex's up there.
Yeah, no, we don't do tools.
It sounds like that's going to happen. John is in Torrance on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah, hey, John, what's your item?
I walked into a girl's room, and I was staring back at a mannequin.
Really?
A mannequin?
That's a mannequin.
A guy or a girl mannequin?
A girl mannequin. Her defense is she's a design student.
Yeah. I was about to say, is she a beautician or design student or designer?
But it was still weird. I mean, walking in the room for the first time, I'm looking at a mannequin staring back at me.
Well, I mean, I can understand why something like that would surprise you because you don't expect to see something and it catches your eye and you go, oh, my God, that's a person. Oh, wait, it's a mannequin. But once you realize what it is and it's kind of safe and it kind of makes sense for what she does, it doesn't sound like something like that should be a deal breaker, certainly.
not a deal breaker. I wouldn't necessarily want the mannequin watching us. Yeah. I don't know. It's like having a dog in the same room, only worse.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, you're not going to like me then.
Something else on Lisa's list. All right, thanks for the call. Oh, we got so many great ones, but we're almost out of time. We'll squeeze in a couple more. Marie is in L.A. on line four. Hey, Marie, thanks for calling. What's the item?
Well, my boyfriend of about a month, I was looking for a hair dryer, and I was looking in his bathroom. And I'm not a snooper, but I was just looking underneath his drawers. And I found a Costco-sized box of pregnancy tests. It's one thing to have freaking condoms, like, you know, but yes. Pregnancy tests? That was kind of a turnoff right there.
I don't think a guy would want to find that under a girl's cabinet either, right?
Yeah.
No, like a huge right. box no, no, of pregnancy no, no. tests?
Like, how often do you need to test, yes. right? Exactly. Oh, that's fantastic.
It's like a little tiny... You know, two pack. This
but Marie, you pay so much less by the bulk.
That's right.
You He's never a know thrifty when you, guy.
You never know when you need 144 tests. All right, thank you for the call. And one more, and I take personal offense at this. Amy is in Costa Mesa on line six. Amy, you get the final word. What's the item you never want to see in a dude's bedroom?
Well, I have a couple, like the scented candles and the picture of the mother right by the bedside.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's creepy.
You know, I don't want to look at his mother while we're enjoying ourselves. But I also have a problem with posters of males like Zac Efron right there.
Yes.
Like, you know, that's kind of a key that, like, that's not where I want to go.
So did this happen to you? Did you go over to a dude's house and he had a Zac Efron poster?
He was 28 years old.
Oh, that is unacceptable.
Now, Amy.
Come on.
And he had the picture of his mother.
Amy, now, with the Zac Efron, I can't defend the mother picture, but was he at all trying to be funny with the Zac Efron poster?
No, because he had a couple others. He had another High School Musical poster and He's a 28. Couple other things. Camp Rock. He has no kids. it's just wrong. And he had this whole display of scented candles and, like, the handkerchief over the, you know, like, he was setting it up for a nice time, but it was already there.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
That's awesome. Second Mike, you've got to have a Mario Lopez poster or something at your house, right? I would imagine.
No, come on. I don't. I have the Anaheim Angels. I have
one picture of Mario Lopez in my house, and it says Slater, but it's in the Slayer like design, you know, like the band Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, right.
But that's the only picture of Mario Lopez.
All right. Well, I have to take personal offense because I got a Zac Efron poster in my house.
Oh,
but I'm also not bringing jigs over. All right, Amy, thanks for the call. A quick break. We'll be back with Ralph Showbizbee right after this on Kick. Thank you, Lisa. Ralph, you excited about the great Billy Mays joining us later on this morning?
I sure am excited.
He's a personal hero.
How about everything he sells?
In fact, you probably have spent half your income over the last few years on stuff Billy Mays was advertising on television.
We have to find a list of exactly what he's hawked because I was thinking about that. I mean, I'm an addict for infomercials, but I'm not sure exactly which things of his I've purchased.
It's on his Wikipedia page.
All right, I'll have to check it out because I know I've got the OxyClean was the first. It was where I first fell in love with Billy, and I got that immediately. And I know I got the Mighty Putty, and I got the Mighty Mend It.
Have you mended anything yet?
Yes.
Yes?
The Mended is what you use when you can't use the putty. It's like for fabrics and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I got to find out exactly. Psycho Mike has pulled it up here. Let me see.
OxyClean Orange Glow.
Yeah, the Orange Glow I've used.
Kaboom.
Kaboom I've used.
Engrave It.
Engrave It? Don't be Engrave It. No.
Handy Switch or ICANN.
No. Steam Buddy. I'm not familiar with the Steam Buddy. I think Lisa uses that at home. I'm not sure exactly what that's
awesome
called.
Auger.
Boyfriend.
The Zorbies.
I remember the Auger, yeah.
The Zorbies, that's the big controversial item right there. That's the big battle between Vince and Billy.
Seriously, we got Billy Mays in on the right day because wait till we tell you about the controversy that's brewing between those two products. I mean, this is
ShamWow versus Zorbies.
I know. It's on, man. It is on. Also, comedian Dennis Leary joins us next there on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat for Thursday. What's happening?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I got to tell you about someone I'd like to nominate for this week's Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Week.
Okay.
All right.
Her name is Michelle Owen. She lives in Whitehead, Indiana. And she is fixated, or was fixated, rather, on incriminating her ex-boyfriend. They had a bad breakup, and she decided she was going to get him. So she called the police, invited them over to the apartment which she shared with her ex, and invited them to review her computer to see her ex-boyfriend's downloads of child pornography.
Oh.
She's going to fix him, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Cops go through the computer. Instead, they find two files showing Michelle Owen in an act with a dog.
Oh, no.
She gets arrested for two felony counts of bestiality.
Oh my God.
And
really?
Apparently the boyfriend is scot-free.
They are a couple.
They are.
They deserve to be together.
Yeah.
In prison.
Well, no. I mean, they didn't find any files for the boyfriend.
Would he remove it all?
He must have.
Wow.
But she neglected to remove her her dog romance videos.
God.
So, there's that.
Unbelievable.
Oh, look at this. We got the big list. We got the whole total list here, too. From Billy Mays Products.
Mm-hmm.
We see Buddy Putty. Oh, a CLR. Calcium Lime and Rust. He was the first guy with the CLR. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Love that stuff.
It is good stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's see. House Dust. The Mantis Rototiller.
No need
Don't
for
have
that,
it, but
really?
I'd like to get it because it sounds cool. Micromen Duster. Not sure what that is either, but it sounds awesome.
Now, who wins between him and Popeil? Because Ron Popeil's got game, too.
I think Popeil still is the king.
He's a real G.
But Billy is coming up shortly. You know, they're having their own TV show, Billy and Sully.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Pitchman.
This is you often say how much you hate this job, Ralph, and I understand why, but you do get a chance to meet your heroes working on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Absolutely.
I mean, today is one of those red letter days that you're going to look back on. You're going to go, wow, it was sure crappy working at K-Rock, but I got to meet Billy Mays.
Billy and I are going to have fun, that's for sure.
Rob Pattinson.
Yes.
You know, the girls think he's dreamy because he does that vampire porn.
Twilight.
Right. Turns out that there's a complaint on the set of New Moon, the second Twilight film, now shooting in Vancouver. A lot of people on the set complaining about Rob Pattinson.
What?
Turns out, Rob, well, he's got an attitude. That's obvious. Rob is not a big fan of the showering.
Oh, I was afraid you were going to say that.
Yeah. This comes from the set. This is from one of the crew members. He stinks.
Oh,
I mean, it's awful. He never showers, and it drives people on the set crazy. He completely reeks. It's past the point of a little B.O., says another crew member. So apparently, bad stuff going on there on the set.
Someone's
going
to have to talk to him.
What's that about? Why does somebody do that? Why does somebody want to be all natural like that?
I don't know.
It seems to be guys of a certain age, doesn't it, usually?
I've heard rumors that Keanu Reeves and Brad Pitt both went through phases like that.
McConaughey, too.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a certain age. I think it's a certain type of dude. The kind of artsy, almost hippie, but not like a full hippie.
Yeah.
But all of those guys that you just mentioned, McConaughey, Reeves, Pitt, they all seem like social people who mm-hmm. have friends and family and relations and jobs. And it just seems like just etiquette would make you go, hey, I may not prefer to do it this way, but I, you know, for the comfort of the people around me, I need to.
All the guys you mentioned are also impossibly good looking. Maybe they're just saying, this is my F you to society.
Screw it.
Look what I can get away
and
with.
And maybe people don't tell them.
Yeah, maybe. Sean Penn has a bit of a reputation of being a womanizer.
Yes.
That'll all go away now that he's playing Larry in the Three Stooges movie, by the way.
Now we can take him seriously.
But Star Magazine says most recently he was seen making out with, wait for it, Natalie Portman.
What was that?
How about that?
Oh, damn it. Sean Penn we're talking about? Married Sean Penn? Guy who had
married to
riffles?
Robin Wright Penn. Smoking hot wife Robin Wright Penn. Recently was seen at an event at the Sunset Tower Hotel on March the 17th, making out with 27-year-old Natalie Portman.
You're kidding.
Oh.
Apparently, two of them met when they served on the Cannes Film Festival jury in 2008, and they were at this event together, and someone walked around a corner in a hallway, and boom, came across Natalie and Sean playing tonsil hockey.
What?
Come on! Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's sweet.
Yes. Good deal right there.
And he's not even kosher. She's still taking a bite.
That's
awesome.
Oh, good for you! And how was it?
It's good, I'm guessing. It's Natalie Portman. Did I mention they found two movies of the girl and a dog on her computer?
Yeah, I wish you hadn't, but I think you did get that out, yeah.
She's pretty cute, too.
Look at her.
I mean,
look at her.
No, the girl. You're right. I mean, look.
She's got a little Busy Phillips. Remember Busy Phillips from Freaks and Geeks? That blonde actress, a little Busy Phillips.
She also looks like the famous kind of hot softball player. What was her name?
Yeah, her. Jenny Finch.
Jenny Finch.
Little there Jenny Finch vibe going on, too. Dog's cute, too. Today's celebrity birthdays. The legendary Mr. Spock from all those Star Trek movies and the TV series.
What was that?
Soon to be seen in the new Star Trek film as well. He's got a little cameo. Leonard Nimoy, 78 years old today. Actor Alan Arkin is 75. James Caan, one of the legends. remember from Godfather and from the series Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's done such great work.
DJ Omar Khan.
No, James Khan.
He'll always be Elf to me.
Yeah, the dad and Elf.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
69. Diana Ross is 65. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 61. Martin Short turns 59 years old today. Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos and Life on Mars turns 43. Amy Smart, I love her so much, from Road Trip, Felicity, and Crank, 33. And Keira Knightley from Pirates of the Caribbean, another feature films, is 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Gavin and Bean Show, world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It's Thursday morning. By the way, a week from tomorrow night, it's Kevin and Bean's first annual April Foolishness. In about 10 minutes or so, we're going to give you a chance to win your tickets. If you want to go to this sold-out show with our friend Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Kevin Nealon, Patton Oswalt, Joe Rogan, Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, Sarah Silverman, and Jimmy Kimmel's house band, Cleetum and the Cleetones, from the TV show The Best Late Night Band on TV, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll play a game for those tickets in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Right now, how about the Kevin and Bean Afro Line, you guys?
Okay.
What do you think?
Sure.
323-520-AFRO. We got a tremendous amount of response yesterday, Lisa, to you and Alex with the hesitation that you showed. If you were ever put in a position where you had to shave your head to save someone's life that you didn't know.
Right. A stranger that I never met.
That's right.
Right.
And fortunately, you'll be happy to know that there's a great deal of support for both of you out there. And I think this Afro call demonstrates that.
You wouldn't shave your head to save a person's life. I'll tell you, Lisa May and whoever the hell the other broad is, never listened to two more vacuous holes in my entire life. I guarantee you, Lisa May, if a puppy's life was on the line, you'd shave your head. Idiot.
Wow. I hope that man's giving money to charity.
So maybe no support there, but the next caller is crazy about you and Alex.
Lisa May, shut up. Alex, shut up.
All right, so there's some love here. That's so nice to hear.
But this listener wrote a song about it.
Women who all shave their heads to save another life are whores.
I'm feeling good. I got to tell you.
Yeah. A lot of calls on the Afro line ever since we talked to Randy Moeller, who's the play-by-play announcer for the Florida Panthers. He's the guy who does those awesome calls whenever the Panthers score a goal. He throws in a pop culture reference, and the listeners can't stop flooding the Afro line with messages like this.
They sure can score! Everything's going to be okay! All right. Click.
I think this call may be coming about a year too late, but let's hear it anyway.
Oh my god, guys, I have something so great to tell you guys. You have no clue what just happened. Oh, you just got Rickrolled.
Yeah, ouch. Yeah, I sure did. Yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah. I don't even know what's going on with this one.
Oh, yeah. I want to take it, Kevin, and wipe my bean.
What am I to do with that? I don't even know. I always appreciate when the listeners go out of their way on a busy day to take the time to make suggestions to improve the show. And this listener's got a show suggestion for us.
Last week, no Bean. This week, no Kevin. Now, just imagine if we get those two guys on vacation together. Man, you guys would have quite a show over there on K-Rock. It'd be pretty sweet. Nobody f***ing up interviews. Nobody talking about stupid topics that nobody really cares about. You guys should try it out.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Not a bad idea at all. Unfortunately, I think this is a Kevin Federline impression.
Yo, dude. This is Kevin Federline, a.k.a. Mr. Federline. Yeah. Yo, dude, I got nothing, man. Holla at your damn self. Or me, because no one really calls me anymore. Yo, dude.
There's a lot of pot being smoked in our audience, and then for some reason you're high enough, and then calling the Afro Line seems like a good idea, and I think that's what was going on right there. Here's a question, Lisa, for you. Some confusion maybe about the promotion that you're advertising right now.
Okay,
Lisa, I was listening to one of your commercials this morning, and what's this I hear about someone can win your vulva at April Foolishness? Damn, girl, I guess times are tight for you. Airtight.
Yeah, airtight.
Well, it's going to be quite a show.
Let's face it, the line is often busy when you call to win, say, Offspring tickets this week, and I think it's finally gotten to the point where this lister can't take it anymore.
Damn you, Miss Cleo. Damn you, caller 19. Caller 19, are you serious? And then you tell me, try again. Thanks. No, no. Caller 19, you.
Well, just try again. And finally, last week we had a couple of segments on the show talking about this documentary that Ralph discovered about people who are in love with inanimate objects. I guess there's this woman who's in love with the Eiffel Tower, but she's cheating on it with the Golden Gate Bridge or something like that. I don't really get the deal, but apparently that's what this effort calls about.
My name is Dean, and I am in love with the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald loves me. And as I thrust my at the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.com, I feel the warmth of the monitor me into my and we make love like this. And I prefer the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald over other warm, furry objects like sheep and cute little bulldogs and pigs and ham sandwiches. I love the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And it loves me.
Wow. I feel dirty all over. I wish I had not heard that. I wish that had not occurred. Here's the AfroLine number. If you want to call anytime, 24 hours a day, leave a message, 323-520-AFRO. How about some tickets to Kevin and Bean's first annual April Foolishness at the Gibson Amphitheater 1 week from tomorrow night? It's time to play the hardest game in the world.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man, how the hell are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
You're going to be, I know you love the laughter, you love the comedy. You're going to be coming out and joining us a week from Friday night at the Gibson?
Absolutely. My wife has tickets for the party in the pit section, whatever you're calling
right.
it.
Fancy pants.
Yeah, the fancy pants.
Yeah, that.
All right. Yeah.
Well, it's, of course, Jimmy Kimmel opens the show. His band from the TV show Cleeter and the Cleetones is going to be there. We got your Jay Moore, Kevin Nealon, Patton Oswalt, Joe Rogan, Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, Sarah Silverman. They'll all be there. And now we find out Mr. and Mrs. Announcer Man are going to be there.
That sounds like a hoot!
It is. Well, maybe it won't be a hoot, but I think it'll be a good time for the listeners. Sure.
Great!
How do you want to give these tickets away today? Tell me about the hardest game in the world.
Let's play the hardest game in the world! It's very simple. We'll be playing for you names of the comedians performing at April Foolishness. All you need to do is to identify them. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. They'll be backwards.
Yay!
That doesn't sound like it would be easy to do.
It's the hardest game in the world!
Who's our first contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up, let's talk to Mary Kristen. She's from Newport Beach, and she's in merchandising. Yeah.
I don't think that word means what you think it means, Mr. Announcer Man.
Oh.
Mary Kristen, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fabulous.
Yeah.
All right, listen up. You're about to hear the name of one of the acts that's performing that night at April Foolishness. All you have to do is tell us who it is. Here it is.
Sorry, your fish.
And one more time.
One more time. Sorry, your fish.
Sorry, your fish.
Okay, that was backwards. You tell us who it is forwards.
Name of a comedian.
Can I hear it one more time?
Nope. Nope.
No, I'm sorry.
Twice per person.
You want it?
Jeffrey Ross.
Oh,
sorry.
Thought that O sound might have been a clue.
Thanks. It's hard.
It is not an easy game.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Let's talk to Ralphie from Los Angeles. He's a caterer.
Hey, Ralphie, welcome to the show. How are you, dude?
How's it going, guys? Big fan.
All right, thank you so much. Hope you can join us a week from Friday night at the Gibson. Listen up. Here's your comic.
One more time, Ralphie. Here we
again?
Go.
Again?
Jimmy Kimmel?
That's right.
Nice.
Jimmy Kimmel. Well done.
Woo-hoo. You are in the drawing to win those tickets. Congratulations. Good luck to you. Juan is in Whittier online. Oh, excuse me. Hey, Mr. Announcer Man.
No,
next?
I'm fine. I'll be over here. I got coffee. I'm good. Knock yourself out.
Juan, welcome to the show. You ready to hear your comic?
Yes, I am.
All right. Listen up.
What am I here?
Oh, boy.
One more time.
One more time, please.
All right, here we go.
What am I here?
How about Ray Romano?
How about Ray Romano?
Ray Romano.
Sweet. A lot of vowels there. Congratulations, you were in the drawing. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Let's talk to Joshua in Glendale.
Hey, Josh.
Doing? Hi, Joshua.
We're doing great, man. Ooh.
Yeah. He's a firefighter, too.
Firefighter. Nice.
Come on.
Pump him.
Whether you win tickets or not, you may want to hang on the line and get Lisa May's information before you hang up here, Josh. All right. Listen up. Here's your comedian.
Number of us. Harass.
Oh, God. Sarah Silverman.
Nice.
Yes. Sweet.
That was impressive. Very rarely does somebody get it off just one. All right.
That's three in a row so far.
Yep.
We're on a roll. We're on a roll. All right. Who's next?
Next up is Vicky. She's from Hacienda Heights.
Hey, Vicky. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
All right. Here you go. Listen up. Listen closely. We'll play it for you twice.
Yes.
Can you say it one more time?
Yeah, listen up, okay?
Yes.
Is it Jay Moore?
It is Jay
Moore. Wow! Jay Moore. Four in a row!
Unbelievable. All right, should we go for five?
Jimbo in Pasadena!
Jimbo.
What's up, guys? Lovely to meet you.
Jimbo, there's a lot of pressure on you because it's a particularly smart crowd on the phones today playing the hardest game in the world, but here's yours. Listen closely. We'll play it for you twice.
Nigga, who are
you? I don't think you can say that on the air.
One more time, Jimbo. Listen up. Here we go.
Nigga, who are you?
Joe Rogan.
Yeah!
Good job.
Well done, Jimbo.
Shocking. All right. We got time for one more contestant. Who are we going to go out on?
Let's talk to Jonathan in Placentia.
Hey, John. Don't screw it up for everybody else. Listen closely. Here you go.
Joe Rogan.
Whoops, sorry, that's my fault. Here we go.
That one was easy.
See if you can identify that.
I
but now you got to say it backwards.
Jonathan, here we go.
What's up?
I'm
going to
go with Pat Oswalt.
Outstanding.
Come on, look at that.
Six in a row.
Lisa, you got your work cut out for you. Is it going to be Ralphie, Juan, Joshua, Vicky, Jimbo, or Jonathan? Who joins us at the sold-out first annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness?
Vicky in Hacienda Heights.
Yay!
Vicky! Way to go.
Hi.
Can't hear you at all, but I'm sure you're very excited.
I am very excited. Thank you.
Vicky!
And thank you for playing the hardest game in the world. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Vicky!
By the way, tomorrow morning, you think today's show is huge, and it is. I got to be honest. We've got Dennis Leary standing by in just a minute. We got the great Billy Mays, the world's greatest TV pitchman, coming in the 8 o'clock hour. You think today's show is awesome. How about this? Our friend Kevin Nealon joins us on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Love him.
We've got actress Emily Blunt on the TV show tomorrow.
Wow.
On our radio show tomorrow, talking about our new movie called Sunshine Cleaning. And we've also finally tracked down, Lisa, and you know I've been hot for this for a while. The guy who has got the petition with hundreds of thousands of signatures online, he's trying to force the public release of Barack Hussein Obama's birth certificate. Says the man doesn't deserve to be president because he's not constitutionally eligible because he's clearly a goddamn foreigner and he doesn't look like me, so that can't be right.
Oh, so, yes.
All of that tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about our friend Dennis Leary? It's been a while since we've heard from him on the Kevin and Bean Show, but he is back in a big way. The TV show Rescue Me returns a week from Tuesday on Comedy Central. We've also got the Rescue Me comedy tour happening. He's got a book out. He's got a song out. He's got so much happening. I'm sorry, I said Comedy Central. I'm in the FX is where the Rescue Me show is. But Dennis Leary back on the show. Hey, Dennis, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Great to talk to you. I feel like you're a cicada. You go underground. We don't hear from you for a while, and then you just explode, and you're a multimedia genius all of a sudden.
No, but I don't know about the word genius. I think the real genius is the guy who's trying to get Barack Obama's birth certificate out of public. So that what are we supposed to do then? He has some document, and we all go, all right, call Obama, tell him he has to move out. I mean, you know, how's that going to work?
Yeah. Well, they haven't thought that through yet, I'm sure.
I guess they just figure that, I mean, they're offended if he's constitutionally ineligible to be president. I mean, I understand they want to follow the rule of law,
little too late.
Yeah, it seems to me like this point that it has been generally accepted that he was born in Hawaii. I think there's been enough evidence backing that up, but we'll talk to the dude tomorrow and see. All right, let's catch up with you because you got so much going on. First of all, this Rescue Me comedy tour sounds like it's a one of a kind thing. What's that all about that's coming to town?
Well, you know, the show's been off the air for 18 months because of the writer's strike, which is fine. And, you know, we have 22 episodes. It's basically two seasons in one. So we're really happy about the episodes. I think the break did us good. And I was at some Fox FX, you know, press thing out in L.A. a while ago. And Kiefer's show, 24, also was sort of held back. And they went back to work for you know, I think it was almost double number of episodes, and we both felt the same way, like, geez, the break did everybody some good. So the network said, why don't we take you guys to sort of reignite interest in the show? We're going to do a national tour, you know, press tour. Now, you guys know what that's like. We're going to go city to city and answer questions. The reporters are going to be bored. We're going to get bored. But then I looked at our lineup, and I realized we might be the only show on TV that has three comedians, myself, Lenny Clark, and Adam Ferrara, in the main cast. Plus, in our rotating series of secondary characters, we have another three or four stand-up comedians.
That's right.
So I said, hey, what if we went city by city across the country, and instead of doing a boring press tour, we did a live comedy show, which starts with an eight-minute clip package of things that are happening in the upcoming season, which we're not running on television or talk shows or even in the movie theaters when they're advertising Rescue Me. It's just at the live show. You'll get like a sneak preview of the season, and then you get an hour and a half, two-hour comedy show. I just think that sells. We did our first date last Saturday in Atlantic City, and the audience really loved it. So I think it was a good idea, and we're having fun. So that's the main thing.
That's a fantastic idea. And, of course, if you're a fan of Rescue Me, like you say, you get to see stuff you've never seen before, and you get a chance to see all these people who work on the show in person. Now, your date is coming up Saturday, April 4th at the Nokia Theater downtown L.A. Tickets are on sale through Ticketmaster for that. And then just a few days later on April 7th is when Rescue Me comes back to FX. Now, a year and a half since the last show, is it going to pick up right where it left off, or are we going forward in time on the show at all, or what's happening with the plot?
Well, it's kind of, without giving too much away, it kind of picks up where we left off in the sense that, you know, Tommy's father passed away right in the last moments of the fourth season. So we pick up there, and then we jump ahead a little bit. So it's basically, you know, that his father's death has a big effect on him. I don't want to give any secrets away, but man, it's, I tell you, it's one of those things where we're the wrong people to judge it, because we're involved in it and we might be biased. But we sent the episodes out to the TV critics, and the response has been really strong. And one of the reasons for that is that Michael J. Fox is playing a character in the first.
Oh yeah, I had read that he was
episodes
in it
this year, and he's really it's a dramatic role with comedic elements. And man, he's fantastic.
I hear that Michael J. Fox, and I had a chance to interview him a few years ago after he got sick, and he struck me this way too, has an air about him that he touches everyone that meets him. They can't get over the vibe around, the aura around this guy with the way he carries himself with what he's going through.
Oh, that's a bunch of crap. He's a pain in the ass. Yeah, and when you really touch, a lot of people, it can be right. He likes to fondle people. You know, people forget a couple things about Michael. One is, you know, he's a terrific dramatic actor. He never really got a chance to show that, you know, in his movie star days, because he was a huge comedy icon. But, you know, he did a movie called Casualties of War with Sean Penn. About the Vietnam War, and he was great in that. This role is primarily a dramatic role, but, you know, of course, it's Rescue Me, so it has some comedic underpinnings. But that was one of the reasons I think he wanted to do it, was it was a chance to play something kind of heavy. But, I got to tell you something. In all the people I know that I really admire, and when it comes to charity and when it comes to how they carry themselves, he's pretty extraordinary. And he's also, as you guys probably know, he's one of the funniest guys on the planet. He's actually got a great book coming out. Here I am selling his book. He's got a great book coming out in a couple of weeks, or maybe next week, which is a follow-up to his bestseller of a few years ago. He's just got a great perspective on everything. And I'm telling you, you know, I love working with the guy. I've only done charity work with him. I've never worked with him on screen. And he's hilarious. You know, he wakes up funny, which I love the guy for that. And the fact that his illness has no effect on how he walks through life. You know, he's
so positive. Same. Yeah, isn't it funny that he's got all this heavy stuff going on with him, yet he stays so positive? You are healthy and successful and happy, and you put out books like Why We Suck. Isn't that the difference between you and Michael J. Fox?
Well, I'm a comedian, so you know, I've always been that way.
Are you a little bit surprised? Did you ever imagine that you would be on a long running TV show? Is this where you anticipated your career might go, Dennis?
Well, no. I mean, I never did television.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I went to television with Peter Tolan, who you know, on a series called The Job on ABC, which thank God they canceled because otherwise we wouldn't be doing Rescue Me.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably one of the few actors in the history of working in television who was happy to have his series canceled. But, you know, I loved Peter. He did the Larry Sanders Show with Gary Shandling. So it was one of those things where I was going to produce a TV show and I wanted Peter to write it. And then when we started working together as writers, I went, I'm not going to let some other actor play this role. And then that led to Rescue Me, which I really fell in love with television. I love the idea of writing characters for a long period of time, and then the idea of playing it. I think in the beginning I wasn't that crazy about, but once I started doing it, I really fell in love with the process. My favorite show of all time is The Sopranos. So to have the opportunity to be able to do a show like that, not that we're anywhere near as good as they were, but...
But I know what you mean. You get a chance to follow characters for a long time and go through the ups and downs. And as an actor, it gives you so much opportunity. It's not like playing the same thing every day because there's so much range and depending on what's going on with the plot line.
Yeah, and also, you know, if you get lucky enough to get a great cast, which is the main, the real reason a television show works is because, look, you can have great writing. If you have bad actors, it comes off as bad writing. You can have mediocre writing, but great actors will make it look fantastic. So we got really lucky with the casting. I look at, hey, I'm not supposed to be in this position. So the idea that I'm on a hit television show, that I had a best-selling book, I'm supposed to be driving trucks someplace. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's right.
Everything, as far as I'm concerned, this country's fantastic. And, you know, you talk to Mike Fox. He's another great example. Here's a guy who was a hockey player from Canada. So, you know, I mean, I was a broken-down hockey player from Boston. Look at me, you know?
This is Dennis Leary. We're talking to him on the phone, by the way, about the return of his TV show Rescue Me, Tuesday, April 7th on FX, and the Rescue Me comedy tour, which sounds fantastic. See the guys from the show on stage in a preview of the upcoming season, Saturday, April 4th at the Nokia Theater. Tickets on sale now. Two more quick questions, Dennis, then we'll let you go. Since the last time we had you on, you did that hilarious Funny or Die bit where you talked about all the movies you've been in and basically just slammed most of them as being awful pieces of crap. Now, most people won't have the guts to do that in Hollywood. Even though they know their movies are bad, they always want to say nice things because of the other people that worked on the movie. Did you get any kind of fallout or feedback from the people that you talked about on that bit?
Yeah, I don't really care. I mean, look, I'm one of those guys. I've been lucky enough to be working for 20 years in this business. And movies, you know, really, truthfully, any actor you pick, you can pick Robert De Niro, you can pick Adam Sandler. You know, out of any three movies you make, one of them, if one of them is good, it's like baseball, you're batting 300, you know? So
that's right.
Most movies suck because, let's face it, there are a lot of movies that are made, and same thing with TV. So I made a lot of movies, and I would say, listen, Thomas Crown Affair, Wag the Dog, Jesus' Son, I've been lucky enough to be in a couple of big animated hits, Monument Ave. I mean, I could pick out like six or seven or eight movies, True Crime with Clint Eastwood, that I really liked, that I was really proud of, and I had a great time doing. But, you know, any of us would be lying if we said, you know, every single movie I make is fantastic. No.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you and I, we all go to the movies, right? We know.
We know they're not all great. Exactly. Yeah, but very few people will say it, and that's what's interesting about you. All right, last question. I remember, I know you've done some songs in the past. I loved your song, A-Hole, and I know you got a new song that I haven't had a chance to hear yet, but I've been reading about it. It's something about stars in rehab. What's that about?
Yeah, basically, well, you know, we have to play the A-Hole song, as we will call it here.
Yes.
I have to play it whenever I perform live because the crowd starts yelling it out, and if I don't play it, they get bummed out. So
then they call you an A-Hole for real.
Yes, exactly. So, which, of course, just reminds me of growing up. So I bring the band with me. And so when we decided to do the Rescue Me comedy tour, I said, guys, we need a couple new songs. So we ended up writing a really funny song about celebrity rehab and what a bunch of crap it is and how celebrities get exhausted or how they get mercury poisoning, whatever it might be. And we opened the show with this song about rehab. And then we also have a surprise second song that comes up in the show, which I can't even say the title of here, but it's basically another celebrity song. And then I do a whole bunch of stuff up top in the show about celebrity rehab and celebrity sex addiction. And listen, when my dad was quote unquote exhausted, he took a nap and then went to his second job.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
The idea that celebrities get exhausted. I work on movies and television shows. Yeah, they're long hours, but you know what? We ain't lifting heavy pieces of steel. You know what I mean?
And if you get dehydrated, just go ahead and have water. Doesn't necessarily need to send you to the hospital.
Have a Gatorade for Christ's sake. I mean, you know.
All right.
Mercury poisoning? Well, you have to eat an entire mercury automobile to get mercury poisoning.
It sounds like a fantastic night of comedy on stage at the Nokia Rescue Me Comedy Tour. Tickets available now through Ticketmaster. That is April 4th and four days later, the premiere of Rescue Me.
And it's the portion of the proceeds goes to benefit the Leary Firefighters Foundation, which is my charity, which helps firefighters all over the country. And I'm just telling you, forget about me, but Lenny Clark, Adam Ferrara, I think Nick DiPaolo is with us in Los Angeles. You're just going to laugh your asses off for a good cause, and you'll get to see secret clips of the upcoming Rescue Me season.
Sounds great. Yeah. Dennis, always good to catch up with you, dude. Thanks for coming on the Kevin Beach Show. 7:57 on the Kevin Beach Show. Today's show is getting out of control. We're losing focus. We're losing track. The hours are whizzing on by. We got too much show. We're trying to cram too much into too short a period of time is what's happening here.
I think we'll live.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Lisa, it's over.
I think we're okay.
Can't be handled. No, the hardest job in America.
I wasn't really feeling all that stressed, but
I am feeling enormously stressed because former sports guy Matt Money Smith joins us just after the news at 8 with a preview of the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament, and then the greatest pitchman in the history of TV, Billy Mays, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour as well. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Got a scratch in your car? I can fix it easy with Fix-It's car scratch remover.
Best.
Can't wait.
Just put it in there and you rub it on there. It matches
really?
The paint.
And it works?
Oh, it's awesome.
Wow.
Billy taught me that. The more I hear about Renee Zellweger, the more I like her. And I didn't used to feel this way. But apparently she's like the nicest woman in show business.
Really?
Then why is she always making a fart face?
I don't know. I did a story about the fact that she has missed planes, trains, automobiles, ferries, meetings.
Yes.
Because she won't ever walk away from a fan. Someone wants to talk to her, she'll stand there and talk to them and chat and sign autographs and stuff. She's just incapable of being rude to her fans. This story comes off of MSNBC. Talking about the fact that in the past year, she has made about a dozen different visits to all the veterans at Walter Reed Army Medical Center.
No kidding.
Apparently, she takes time out of her life to go visit them. The first time there, it was supposed to be a two-hour visit. She was so taken by their condition and their sacrifice, she spent 8 hours talking to the wounded servicemen at Walter Reed.
Wow.
And it's gone back a ton of times since.
It's very nice. It's very generous of her. But wouldn't they rather see someone hot?
Oh, Ben.
What? I mean...
She's cute.
This is what we have to deal with.
She's cute and she's a celebrity.
This is what we have to deal with.
I know.
Did you watch American Idol last night? It was Motown Week.
I did.
Haven't yet.
I think I'm done. I think I'm. Last night, broke my back with American Idol.
Yes. No.
Yes.
Well,
are you serious?
There were
some great performances last night, Ralph.
There were, Bean, but it was not worth the 2 hours you have to sit through to watch.
Don't watch it live.
But I have to.
No, you don't.
Because we have to talk about it today.
Watches it live.
I'm doing it live.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true.
And so what am I going to do? I can't be like you and shirk my duties and put everything on TiVo and just watch it at my leisure. I have to keep up with these things.
It's your job.
So I have to watch them.
It's like me in traffic. That's
exactly.
Your job.
Right. Why don't you record how the traffic is today and tell us about it tomorrow.
That.
And tell
can't
us
do
you can
that,
at
man.
Least DVR it and start half an hour in, though, Ralph, and then just fast forward through the stuff you don't like.
Yeah, but half an hour in, you catch up through the commercials. Boom, you're back there. It's real time again. It's a 2 hour show.
Yeah, it's too long a show. There's no question.
Is it going to be 2 hours to the end of the season?
It gets less as they have less contestants competing.
Okay.
But it is one of the worst shows on television. I realized
so much
last night.
Fill.
It is
That's
one of the
said.
Worst shows, produced shows on television. The performances individually worth watching.
Right.
Seacrest is so off the rails now. He cannot. At no time can he keep himself from trying to make some offhanded, ad-libbed comic remark. Every opportunity he gets, it falls flat. Stop the show
bump.
Dead.
He's a speed bump on the show.
Stop the show dead. At least once an episode, Cowell will look at him and go, awkward, because everyone has been quiet and his joke has just killed the energy in the room.
Absolutely.
Can't shut the F up, and he's horrible.
And the judges, because they have 2 hours now, they basically say to the judges, talk for as long as you want. If it's 10 minutes to hear the critique of that singer, that's fine. We've got it.
The judges don't even want to be there. Last night, Simon Cowell drew a mustache on Paula Abdul. That's how bored they are with the show. I'm not effing you. He drew a mustache on Paula Abdul. They're like goofing around at the desk, and the person's up there waiting for their critique.
I saw him doing that last week, too. They were goofing around.
They are so bored with that show, much like I am. I felt like I was watching a rerun of American Idol last night because they'd done Motown
19,000 times. Yeah. I think this is like the second or third time Smokey Robinson has been the mentor. The show is becoming a parody of itself. It's almost unwatchable now.
Wow. Well, if you stop, I'm stopping.
I was really furious last night by the time I was through with it. Great performances towards the end.
Great performances, and then like 6 minutes of commercials between every single performance, too, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that last night, but they're padding this thing to crazy.
It just... Get rid of Seacrest. Really. Yeah. I'm not kidding. He adds nothing to the show. A decent voiceover guy could do what he does in half the time.
And you know, when I do fast forward, because I'll see the performances, I listen to the judges, and then when Seacrest takes the person and says, so what do you think?
Yeah.
Fast forward.
He comes out
I
says,
don't need to
so
know.
So how do you feel about, how would you take what she said and he said and put that together? And the person's like, well, I don't know. I'm just going to come back next week. Yeah. I mean, it never adds anything to the show.
It's a total waste of time.
So, Simon, you said that he should try to be more conceited, so maybe he should watch some videotape of you. What about that? No, Ryan. Okay. He's got this bad plastic smile. He's just horrible.
Kevin is going to be so happy when he comes back from vacation if you, in fact, are really off.
I'm serious. There must be someplace you can go online to watch the
performances,
right?
I would imagine on YouTube.
Boil it down someplace where you can just see snippets or something.
I
can't sit through the episode. I can't sit through the show anymore.
DNN is telling me AmericanIdol.com.
Has just the performances. That's where I might have to go because I can't watch the show anymore.
But the thing about Ryan that you don't understand is that this is American Idol. Whew.
Man, he really thinks he's somebody.
I don't even watch the results show. I just let you tell me.
Oh, the results show.
I don't even bother.
Talk about padding.
Yeah.
Talk about crap and just... Oh! Anyway.
You're right.
Feel better?
Right.
Okay. Get that off your chest.
Better
feel better?
That was good.
What about Gay Adam last night, though? Was he phenomenal?
Amazing.
Amazing performance.
Amazing.
I'm gay. Didn't go to college.
Not Adam Carolla. No, this is a contestant on American Idol.
Literally a millionaire. Yeah, I'm gay.
No. Gay Adam is Adam Lambert, who sang Tracks of My Tears last night and did a remarkable job.
Phenomenal.
And how about Allison Arrieta? Arrieta.
She won't wait because we can't say her name.
She was 16 and she blew the doors off of Papa's a Rolling Stone.
She's an awesome
crushed
singer.
Crushed it! Don't say you don't care for her. She's amazing.
Plus, she's a mumble mouth and she seems dumb. I just
don't
like her.
F you.
I just don't like her.
So anyway, according to American Idol, DialIdol.com, who accurately predicts who will be going home tonight, it's going to either be Scott McIntyre, the blind dude, Megan Joy, who is the tatted up weirdo, or Tubby Michael Sarver, who was an oil rig worker. One of those three will be going home tonight, according to DialIdol.com, so we'll wait and see.
Okay.
I may not watch. I might just find out when you find out.
All right.
I think it's going to be very tough for you to give it up, though. I really do.
I'm not so sure.
American Idol blows.
Kevin came back from vacation just to come in here and say that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Leonard Nimoy is 78 years old today. The legendary Mr. Spock from Star Trek lore, 78. Alan Arkin is 75. James Caan turned 69. Diana Ross is 65. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith turned 61. Martin Short's 59. Michael Imperioli from Life on Mars, which I think only has one more episode to go.
Oh.
The Sopranos, he's 43. Amy Smart from Road Trip and Felicity, she is 33. And Keira Knightley celebrates her 24th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, now, that's a song that's demanding a hey. You give me hays on nothing. How does that song not get a hey?
Just doesn't feel right.
Don't you think it's too obvious?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Too predictable, Lisa
exactly.
May.
Exactly.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, the most exciting time in sports as we head into the Sweet 16 in the men's college basketball. Our old friend Matt Money Smith joins us on the air right now, former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show now, of course, holding down weekday afternoons on AM 570 with our friend Petros Papadakis. Hey, Matt, how are you, man?
Hey!
Before we talk basketball, I just want to say what a great time I had at lunch the other day with you and Limbaugh and Imus and all those guys, man. That was a lot of fun.
Well, I will say, Bean, you know more about communism than any other man in radio, so I appreciated your presence.
And communism sucks. I think that's the one thing we could all agree on. This tournament has not disappointed so far. Everything from the controversial way that Syracuse lost, I guess it was, to some of the last-minute heroics in some of the games last weekend. The NCAA tournament is as great this year as it always is, isn't it?
Well, Syracuse is still alive.
It's Marquette. Marquette blew it, right?
Marquette's a Big East team. You know, Milwaukee, Syracuse, whatever, cold climates, people that are fat and, you know, all that sort of, that's the same deal. Missouri, yeah, for those that don't know, Missouri had a player that was injured, supposedly, with about 5 seconds left, which in college, you can select anybody you want off your bench to take a shot if a player is injured. And they brought a dude in who sunk two free throws, and that then allowed Missouri to advance, and Marquette did not. And it was pretty, it was a pretty great scene because their head coach is kind of a rotund, bald, funny-looking guy. And he was just screaming, you know, just vulgarities into his hand. He didn't want the camera to pick up his, you know, people who could read his lips, unloading on a referee. So Missouri and Memphis, that should be a great game. A lot of people, of course, have talked about Oklahoma and the Big 12. And if you want to see something really cool, probably the best guy, the best player in the tournament is this dude named Blake Griffin. He plays for Oklahoma. I swear to you, think of whoever it is that pops into your mind when I say eyes too close. And Blake just blows him away. I mean, he is Cyclops. He is
like freaky, right?
Yeah, like scary. Like you can't stop staring at his eyes, and he's only got a two head, so his hairline goes to like his eyebrows. And his eyes, it really is something to behold. So for those of you that aren't into the basketball, just check out that dude because it really is that interesting. Oklahoma's great. Oklahoma's great. That should be a great game. Villanova, Duke. You know, like you said, Bean, it hasn't disappointed. We have a Sweet 16 that has, you know, tough teams like Pittsburgh and Xavier and you know, of course, just the behemoth and UConn and this giant, I don't even know where Haseem Tabeet's from, but it's like Sudan or something, and, you know, 7'9" guy that just swats shots all over the place. So it really is a good time to get into college basketball if you haven't been into it before.
Were you surprised at all with how poorly the Pac-10 fared?
Yes and no. You know, I'm not surprised that Arizona's doing well. You know, Arizona was the last team in. You know, they always talk about, if you hear about how they make the field, the last five in and the first five out, you know, based on how the tournaments are playing out and who's getting in automatically and who's not. Arizona, everybody, you know, it's a consensus. They were the last team in it, yet they're in the Sweet 16. They're talented. They got three dudes they're going to play in the NBA. They are going up against Louisville tomorrow. And Louisville truly is an evil team. I mean, if there's ever been a human incarnate of Belial, of Satan himself, it is Rick Pitino, and he embraces the role. I mean, he slicks his hair back. He wears white suits. You feel like when he's not in front of a camera, he is doing something just destructive to the benefit of humankind. So watch that game. I think Arizona is supports all that is good in the world, whereas Louisville is all that is bad. Syracuse has a dude at the point named Johnny Flynn, who's really a joy to watch, but he looks like he's 60 years old. Just look at his face. He looks kind of like Delroy.
I think money only watches basketball so he can make fun of the way dudes look.
Do you ever notice that?
That's
true.
Basically what he focuses on. I was just so surprised, obviously, I don't think anyone expected USC or UCLA to go very far. I was hoping for more out of the Huskies. But, I mean, Arizona, it's just so funny the way they squeaked in. I mean, they lost 13 games this year. A lot of people thought, well, there's no way they even deserve to be in this tournament. And isn't this true? Isn't this the 25th year in a row they've made the tournament money?
Yes, 25th in a row. They're making a run at North Carolina's record of 27 that Dean Smith had there. The reason they got in, they beat Kansas, who's a Sweet 16 team. They beat Gonzaga, that's a Sweet 16 team. Of course, they beat UCLA. They beat Washington in conference. So they had real good out-of-conference victories, and that's something it's kind of like a tool that the tournament selection committee uses so these coaches don't just schedule, you know, Santa Barbara and Alabama, Birmingham, you know, in their out-of-conference, you know, so teams can see, well, why didn't St. Mary's make it and Arizona did? We had seven more wins than they did. Well, you didn't play anyone.
Arizona
used their out-of-conference schedule to make college basketball more entertaining because of who they played. So I think that's kind of what went down and why Arizona got in. And you know what? Arizona can win that game. That's the great thing about having Arizona in this tournament. The only thing they can't do right, well, they don't have, I should say, is depth. You know, if one of their big guys, Chase Budinger, and their dudes are all from out here, you know, and Jordan Hill, the one thing they don't have is depth. If any of those three guys, Nick Wise, Jordan Hill, or Chase Budinger, get into foul trouble, they're dust. I mean, they'll lose by 20 points. But if they all stay on the court, they're probably going to be three of the best guys on the floor, and they're all on the same team.
All right, let me ask you a couple more things, Money, in our remaining moments. First of all, is there anyone who has ever been worse at picking college basketball games who gets more publicity for it than President Barack Obama?
he did pretty poorly. That said, doing brackets is tough. I mean, that's why if anybody looks around their office, it's not like the guy that knows the most about college basketball ever wins the office pool. You know, there's always some, you know, some person that just decided, oh, I like Spokane, Washington. I'm a fan of Lilacs. I'm going to take them to beat North Carolina. That's usually how it works out. And then Gonzaga upsets maybe the best team in the tournament, and they go on to win the office pool. So not because of my politics, but I'll go ahead and stick up for old Barack on his bracket selection.
All right. What are the options this year? It seems like every year they give us more and more ways to watch more and more games. I mean, obviously not all of these. I mean, all of these games are going to be on television, but of course you can also watch them now on your phones. You can watch every single game streaming online.
You're at the mercy of CBS, you know, and that's a perfect example of why the computer's great. So USC and Purdue, you know, in their round of 32 game, it's like a 4-point game with 40 seconds left. By no means is it, you know, it's still in the balance. Yet CBS chose to cut to Marquette in Missouri because that too is in the final 15 seconds and was tied. Yet here we are in LA. Well, wait a minute. What the hell just happened? I'm watching USC. So now, because of the computer, you can select whatever game you want, your iPhone, whatever game you want. They have that thing called Flow TV on telephones that, you know, feature the games as they happen. So, yes, it is nice because there are games going on simultaneously that you can choose which contest it is you get to watch.
Who do you like for the Final Four, Matt Money Smith?
Final Four, that's, you know, the three number one seeds I think will hold: North Carolina, Louisville, and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a real tough team. North Carolina and Louisville, probably the two most talented in the tournament. And you know, it's pretty much a common Final Four. The one upset I like is I think Memphis should beat UConn. But if there is one, the one upset I like best is Gonzaga to beat North Carolina. Even though they had a couple close games and haven't been playing great, they do have a lot of depth and a lot of quality players. I like their coach quite a bit, even though Roy Williams coaches North Carolina. So that's the one team I would maybe keep an eye on tomorrow for that upset of the number one.
Very exciting. You guys doing anything special on your afternoon show about NCAA? You got anything cool coming up on that people should check out?
Well, we will have Lakers basketball. They're in Detroit today, so we are off the next couple days.
Good timing. That's fantastic.
So the rest of the nation will hear us talk to the angry Trent Johnson, head coach of the Louisiana State Tigers, but everybody here will hear Lakers-Detroit, which ought to be mighty compelling.
Fantastic. Matt Money Smith, AM 570 in the afternoon. Always great to catch up with you. Thanks, dude.
Communism sucks.
That's enough of that one, Mike. We don't really have time to listen to the end. We got to move on. We got a very busy show here.
Sorry.
Kevin and Beach Show on 106.7 KROQ. Yeah, we know how it ends.
Yeah.
I don't care whether you bought the One Sweep, the Jet Tan, the Slimming Pants, the Glass Wizard, the Mighty Mendit, the Mighty Putty, the Hercules Hook, the Awesome Auger, or thousands of other products. You probably bought them from our next guest. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the studio the greatest pitchmen in the history of television, Billy Mays and Anthony Sully Sullivan.
These guys just walked in. I've purchased three things already since they've walked in. That's how good they are.
We're just getting started.
Yeah.
Look, guys.
How much money do you have?
I got my credit cards.
Let's max them out. Yeah, we take them all.
I know you do.
Ralph Garman sitting right there to your right. He could be retired right now and sitting on a pile of about $1 million if it hadn't been for what the goddamn crap that you guys sell on TV day and night.
I am a bit of an infomercial addict. I am the guy who sees the little giant ladder or whatever and says, I didn't even know I needed that until I saw that commercial, and then I go get it.
Packages just arriving.
I've
got
the Mighty Putty of home. I've got the Mighty Mendit. I've got cases of OxyClean and Orange Glow.
If you sit and split, you don't have to take it to a tailor.
Exactly, because I got Mighty Mendit, right? That's there. Why.
I've got the stick-up bulbs all over my house. I think the stick-up bulb is the greatest invention ever. You put a light bulb anywhere, you just stick it to the wall.
But you don't need an electrician anymore either. That's the greatest. Electricians love me. Plumbers love Billy for Mighty Putty. And
that's
the electricians,
right.
They come after us. They see us, they're like, damn stick-up bulb.
All kidding aside. Well, not really. You know what? We are in the toughest economic times of our life, and you know what? In our children's lives, and you know what? My new name is Billy. I'm going to save you money, Mays. Honestly,
there you
because
go. That's smart.
You know our
That's
business.
Very smart.
Our business is thriving because you know what? We solve common problems. We have products that are affordable and empower you to go out there and fix it yourself. And you know what? Get off your butt. Get out there. You can fix that leak. I mean, you can fix that shelf. I mean, come on. We're not that. You know what? It's forget
That's
about
a really
what
good
he
point.
Say. We watching monster trucks.
My whole ceiling caved in the other day from a leaky pipe, and I did use Mighty Putty until I had to call the plumber, but it was still, the problem was big.
But before that, you spent 6 months on a leaky boat.
You know, it is interesting. Tell me if this is true, guys, and I don't even know if you have anything to do with where these commercials get placed on what channels and how often, but it does seem like these days that the television networks are having so much trouble making money that they're putting fewer and fewer shows on the air and more infomercials. And a lot of channels now, every morning for 5 hours, it's infomercial after infomercial.
The weekends especially. We're taking over.
Am I right about that? It seems like there's more than ever before on television.
Well, here's the thing. You know, they're finding out that the fluff doesn't sell. I mean, you know, the bottom line is, you know, it's got to be in your face. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys don't get it. These agencies, so to speak, that will charge these companies an outrageous amount of money. We go in there combat. We go in there just ready to, we could shoot in one day, edit the next day, get it on the air the next day. I mean, these guys, they want to do, you know what? They bring this guy in, they bring this guy
they have
in.
Concepts.
Come on! My goodness.
They make very pretty, clever commercials, though.
Yeah,
they're pretty and very humorous.
They're very pretty and good, but you know what? Do they sell?
That's the thing.
They don't right, pitch.
Sometimes
they
you don't even remember
pitch.
The product that you've been
sold. Get out of pitch.
Yeah,
let me take a step back here, folks. Sully, you are kind of the are you the like original king of the infomercial? I mean, you're kind of the guy that kind of got it all started.
Yeah, it's all right. I actually taught Billy everything he knows. When I first met Billy, he used to talk in a normal tone,
really,
and I kind of told him to dial it up. And then he just took it to a whole other level. And I mean, you saw Spinal Tap 11. Billy's at 15.
You were the breakout star of the Home Shopping Network. I mean, you were kind of the one who really was one of the first guys who was in your face like that, right?
I appreciate that. I actually was working with Billy, and then I got my break on Home Shopping, and I escaped the road, and it was kind of like going to the studio, and I'm in there, and I'm in the green room, and I'm just enjoying it, and I'm hanging out with Jackie Collins and Omar Sharif and Ivana Trump. I mean, megastars. I'm this 20-year-old pitch guy, and I got away from Billy. And then I was pitching, and I'm pitching, and I'm loving this, and I didn't tell anyone where I was. And then all of a sudden, I had so many products I was selling that they recruited Billy, and he just comes around the corner. I didn't know he was coming, and they thought I was good. And I like to take pride in what I do, and that Billy comes around the corner, and I'm just, oh, my God, Billy's here.
The look on his face when he said, I said, I caught you. Found out where you're hiding.
Hunted you down.
You know, it's just unbelievable because, you know, going from the home shows, state fairs, that's one thing. I mean, then to get on Home Shopping Network, have never been able to get on QVC. He's been on QVC. Because I'm down in Florida, HSN is where I, met the Orange Glow people, OxyClean. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's infomercial. It's the rest is history. I mean,
that's right.
OxyClean was born at Home Shopping Network. A lot of Sully's products were born at Home Shopping Network. But you know what? It's we're leaving in a cloud of dust, and you know nothing personal. But you know what? We're on a mission to take products to the next level. Our show Pitchman coming up April 15th, 10 p.m. on Discovery, following MythBusters. And let me tell you this:
just a little
it's
plug.
One dream at a time. You know these people have their houses hawked. They have their everything.
They really believe 401ks.
I mean, their children's educations are on the line.
So, for those who don't get the premise, these are people who are bringing you their ideas, their products, and then you guys evaluate them. And, if they're good enough, you take them to the next level.
I don't think a lot of people actually really realize how much work goes into it. I think, you know, maybe they just think Billy and I see a product and we'd slap our name on it and we'd get up there and we shoot one of the commercials and Billy's yelling and I use my English accent or whatever. But we actually really get involved.
Fake English accent, I'd like to point
it's
out.
It's actually
by the way.
Gone away a little bit. So I need to start talking a little more British today. Hello, this is I'll Speak Like Jonesy. We are K-Rock.
But you're saying there's more to it than that.
Yeah,
it's much more difficult.
We get involved with these inventors, and honestly, when you get, it's almost like a doctor-patient relationship. These people have taken their life savings, mortgaged their house, they've maybe invested their friends, family, children's college funds into these products, and when they show us their products, I mean, it makes American Idol look like nothing, because these kids can sing, these people have sunk everything into their products. And you kind of, with the show, you follow the journey of Billy and I's relationship with them. And you know, it becomes our pet project. And mm-hmm. we live and die by this. You know, and some don't make it. And it's tough to do what we do.
That's got to kill you.
What Sully's saying, we've been doing this for years. And you know what? Now that it's being recorded, there's more pressure on us than ever. There's more pressure on us than ever. We've been doing this for years, you know, just taking products.
But something fails, nobody knew before,
yeah,
right?
Nobody knew, but you know what? We have some, you know, there's some Major League Baseball players that have some high batting averages. Him and I combined, you know, look at it, 600-700%. I mean, we don't miss, you know, because we're like miners. We sift and we find that gold nugget. We turn down more products than you can imagine. We see more stuff that we go like, next. Next, you got to.
And some of these inventors are crazy. I mean, they will not take no for an answer.
Are there things that you knew would sell that you took on and ended up being
a bust?
A bust.
Big dogs, yeah.
Does that happen very... I mean, it must not happen often, but it must happen,
right? It happens.
You guys could probably sell any crap to anybody, though. That's what I'm thinking. Even the worst thing, you guys could probably still make a buck on it because you know how to sell.
Just try it once in a while. Let's just see if we can sell this.
We had a couple. What was the one we did with the wingspan?
It's new. Turd in a jar. Yes, turd in a jar. You need it. And then turd in a jar is flying off the shelves. That's what I'm saying.
You know, the thing is, we sold some products that, you know... That, you know, we let America vote. Not to take anything away from Idol, but you know what happens is we make a product, we go through all, it has to solve a common problem, have mass appeal, demonstrable, have all these things that we've answered.
Right.
And it still may not have a shot, but here's the thing. Him and I could not be on TV for 12 years if we pick crap.
Right.
Okay?
That's right.
Pick one bad item, and guess what?
It's true.
Bye-bye, Billy. Bye-bye, Billy.
I don't believe you anymore.
You don't trust me. So I have to be very careful. You're looking at my infrastructure. This voice right here. Powered by the air you breathe, activated by the water that you and I drink. It makes your whites whiter, your braids brighter. If you use bleach, you ruin your clothes.
Specialist. Arm and Hammer just endorsed. Billy just got Arm and Hammer. That's the oldest brand in America. So
they
that says OxyClean. Something.
They bought OxyClean.
$325 million.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. All right, we got to take a break, guys. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. Billy Mays and Anthony Sully Sullivan are here. The show is called Pitch Men, Wednesday, April 15th at 10 on the Discovery Channel. It sounds awesome. We have many more questions for the guys, and we'll return right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.
City Slider Station.
Hi, Billy Mays here for Mighty Putty. The easy way to fix, fill, and seal virtually anything fast and make it last.
Hi, Billy Mays here. If you're having problems with hard water buildup, soap scum, ring around the toilet, calcium lime and rust stains, then you need Kaboom.
Want to know the best way to get your stains out in the wash? Well, America's leading washer brands, Maytag and Whirlpool, recommend OxyClean. Hi, Billy Mays here to share with you the most important product I have ever endorsed. Access to affordable health insurance for everyone.
Thank you very much. Billy Mays is here on the world famous K-Rock along with his friend Anthony Sullivan. Together they are the Pitchmen. The show is Wednesday, April 15th at 10 on the Discovery Channel. Got a quick email question for you, Billy, and I'm sure you get this all the time, so it won't be a surprise to you. Hey, guys, since Billy Mays is here, can you please ask him why he's always screaming at me through my television set? For God's sakes, you have a microphone on. Why do you have to scream, says Steve.
Scream? I am projectile. I am projecting.
It's excitement, right? It's excitement.
You know, let's put it this way. Hi, Billy Mays here for OxyClean. You know, if you have dingy clothes, would you go out and buy this? Come on.
Doesn't get the job done, does
Billy
it?
Hi, Billy Mays here for OxyClean. One scoop in every load. I'm excited. I'm excited. Just push this button.
You've got
button
louder,
on.
Though. Admit it. You have got louder. When we first started working together officially in 2000, you had a more conversational. It was more, hi, Billy Mays here. And now it's just, I work with you every day. It was like a jet engine on Jewel Saw. My right ear.
Get a headache.
Honestly, I had to wear earplugs.
We did the Dual Saw, and I know you know about the Dual
Saw. Dual
Saw
is an amazing piece of machinery.
He's usually producing. He's, you know, he's yelling, action, you know. I mean, his British voice. I mean, I don't know who he thinks he is, but, you know.
I'm Cecil B. DeMille of infomercials, buddy.
Ready for my close-up, whatever. 5-4, action. But you know what? He had to step up and work side-by-side with me on the Dual Saw.
Yeah.
A half-hour infomercial. First time we ever worked together.
Oh, no kidding.
That's the first time.
Wow. He got side-by-side with me, and he felt the thrust. He felt
turbine. I don't hear about
you should step away, maybe.
He felt the turbine.
If you're feeling the turbine, you might be too close.
No one's ever been as close to Billy when he's in full throttle as me. And I actually stopped, and I'm staring at him, side profile. Okay? Because normally I'm looking at him with a beard. I'm looking at this machine moving. And I'm just, I was in complete shock. Like, I couldn't even deliver my line.
You were
you know
when
you yell at a dog or something?
It was either he walks off the set or he steps up. So, and I got to give him credit. He stepped up. And he has the voice.
No,
he has the voice.
It just got louder and louder. Yeah. And the louder he got, the louder I would get.
The sound guy's going
the
crazy.
End of it, and then we add the saw into the mix. I don't even know why this infomercial is. It's got to be a World Guinness Book of the loudest TV shows
but
ever.
You know what? I just want to bring up something about loudness. There's a bill. There's a some guy in Congress trying to pass a law. To when commercials come on, they're going to keep the volume lower.
He's got my vote, I'll tell you that.
What about
because you know what commercials do? Like, Fox is the worst. You're listening to a show at this level. The commercial comes on, it's way louder.
Yeah, you know, ours are even louder.
And I got to run and turn it down.
What does Billy Mays think? Now, everybody will still be able to hear me.
That's true.
That's right.
You'll be fine.
Listen, here's what I say. Ask the kids. The kids, you walk down the street with Billy, there's people, kids dressing up as him. And by the way, we got a shout out to Hunter and Carlisle.
Hunter, happy birthday, Carlisle. We're staying up there at the Amarano up in Burbank here, getting ready to go on a Jay
Leno show. If you're
going to
give a shout out, as Billy Mays, by the way.
Yeah,
can
really.
I request that
Hunter,
at least?
Happy birthday, Carlisle. You're unbelievable. We love hanging out with you in the lobby there. Your
they saw
awesome.
Episode one. They saw episode, we gave him episode one. And if you put that on the internet, you guys were coming to get you. They're about 30. So we're coming. We need that episode back.
I have to ask this: what about all the guys who have come in your wake who now are doing their own infomercials?
Uh-oh.
Don't get it started.
Can you put on 8 Mile?
Is it a tight fraternity of TV pitchmen?
It is
or
a very
guys,
tight. We
are there turf
of,
wars?
We are a band of brothers. Sully and I are partners. Mm-hmm. He got my back. I got his back.
What about some of these other guys?
Yeah,
that
do you meet him in an alley and throw down?
Let's get on that subject.
Hold on here.
No, that's
first
all.
Of all,
hold on.
I'm
hold
tell
on. Because
right
once we
now,
get on this,
no,
once
no,
we get on this, it's all over. That's the rest
I'll make
of the show.
Quick here. There are it's people out there now. We have a respect in this industry. You know what? We do not knock each other off.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of
okay.
Kind of say,
keep the level
what?
Up. Keep the level
here's
up.
Here's the thing. You know, Vince, if you're out here right
uh-oh,
now.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
You know what? I had Zorbee's. Number one product, the chamois. Okay, it's been around, and it's fair game. But you know what? You knocked me off once, Vince. Now, you know what? You got your ShamWow. You're going to be ShamPow when I get done with you.
Whoa!
And you know what else?
Champ-pow,
you know what?
Champ-pow.
Here's a. Now you got the crab chop or the slap chop.
Oh,
well,
slap
I got
chop.
The original quick chop. And guess what? You're at $19.95 at retail.
$10.
We are 10 bucks.
Yeah.
Cool, you know
what? We'll cut the price in half. I'm going to double the value.
Good luck, because I tell you what. Billy's going to save you money, Maze. And Vince, by the way, if you're here in L.A. or at Lower Alabama, wherever you're at, Miami, I don't care where you're at, I want to meet your butt, because I'll tell you what, you are done. You're not a pitchman. You're not a man. You're not a man. You got to come out here. You got to face me face to face. We're going to have
I told you, the show's over now.
I got to tell you something. It's unbelievable.
Mitch, we're going to pay-per-view special. The slap chop is going to gather dust on the shelf, and the quick chop where it was, there'll be no space left, because we are going $10. We are doubling the value. We are going to offer coupons. We're going to discount it. The face, the picture of Billy's face on the box is going to be bigger than ever.
Did you get that camera guy?
No, but there are some pitch guys out there. Chef Tony's a great guy.
Chef Tony's
good friend.
Great. We all band together, but this one guy's a rogue.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there, he's a rogue.
Plays by
know?
His own rules.
He thinks that the universe is his and whatever. I mean, I don't even want to waste time on this wonderful station, the number one station here in the country, talking about this idiot. Okay,
but isn't it a tribute to you though that he obviously is just copying Billy Mays? I mean, there's no question you're his primary influence.
Hold on, he's a pain in my whatever. But I got to tell you something: be original. Be original. Don't look for my products, because you know what? Now I'm turning it off. I mean, you know what?
Well, now I feel guilty for buying the ShamWow. Now I feel like a bad person that I bought the ShamWow.
What? Hold on here. Now I've turned the tide. Now I'm going to find out what you're selling, Vince. I'm going to find out where you work. And I'm going to come by and I'm going to bother you. And you're going to see how it feels, brother.
Double
you're
trouble.
You're going to see how it feels.
Uh-oh. Okay.
You know what? But I will find you. You can run, but you can't hide, buddy. Because with that face, you can't hide.
The the show called Pitchmen debuts Wednesday, April 15th at 10 on the Discovery Channel. And basically, you walk us through the process of they come to you with their ideas and you show them how it's done, right?
That's
you get
right.
the product to market and find out whether it's a hit or not and whether they're on the right track.
That's
or not.
It's tax day, too. So if you have any money left over at the end of it, we'll be running our commercials. You get an extra $10, $20 bills.
Yeah, it's like this. It's one dream at a time. You know what? You know, I get a little carried away, and it's nothing personal when I get this with this Vince and all this. But right now, my focus is on taking people and turning their dreams into reality. And that's it. Because I got to tell you something. Billy Mays and Anthony Sullivan, we are the pitchmen who care. We care about this industry. Our industry is a good industry, and we want to show that with this you know, we held out for a long time. We've had other people come to us with, you know, the same concept. Why we held out for 2 years for Discovery, the classiest act on TV, Discovery, to wait to finally get a deal with them. Because you know what? Behind Deadliest Catch, you know, Dirtiest Jobs. I mean, these are the class acts, Mythbusters, Pitchmen. So Discovery,
can't
thank
wait.
You.
Yeah. Wow. It's going to be great.
It's from Mythbusters. USA. That's right. USA. Right.
It's from Mythbusters to Earbusters with Billy Mays.
I think they may be a little bit nervous, but they gave us 13 episodes.
13 one-hour shows.
And honestly, one thing I'll say, even though I'm from England, coming from England, this country's been really good to me. And I know it's a lot of people out of work right now, a lot of people losing their houses, and the American dream is alive as it ever has been. And this show is a lot about that. So,
if I agree right now to watch all 13 shows, will you throw in a 14th for free?
I will. Half the price will go from 1 hour to 30 minutes, and we'll throw in a 14th absolutely
we'll pay
free.
For it after the pitch. It'll be called After the Pitch.
Actually,
and let me just say this: with every great recession, which you're in, it could be a depression. A great depression comes greater innovation.
It's unbelievable.
America will be coming together because all the tinkerers are going to get back into their garage because we are going to make this country come back. We're going to band together. Everybody unite.
One pitch at a time. We're bringing the economy back one pitch at a time.
USA!
We started with Impact Town.
USA! USA! USA!
Billy, Sully, thanks for coming in. Good luck on the show, guys.
See you later.
First of all, I'm exhausted from spending a half hour with our guests. But second of all, I've never felt like such an inferior broadcaster as I do right now when you sit around a guy like Billy Mays and a guy like Sully. You realize they know how to use the medium to communicate it. I just don't.
Yeah, if it's about communication and reaching people, nobody does it better than those guys. That's for sure.
Yeah. Very entertaining. All right. It's KRQFM Pasadena, Los Angeles. Final showbiz report for the morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Lindsay Lohan's in big trouble. I'm just going to do everything like that for
That'd
the rest
awesome.
Of my life, wouldn't it? Apparently, her latest film, Labor Pains, in which Lindsay plays a woman who fakes pregnancy in order to keep her job,
Lindsay Lohan,
will not be released into cinemas here or abroad. It will premiere on cable television in July.
Well, that's where the best films end up,
though,
right?
That's how you know
you've done a slight on its quality.
Good work when you end up on TBS or TNT for your big premiere.
Yeah.
It will go straight to DVD in August, so all you Lindsay fans can pick up her latest opus in your latest video store. So that all works.
I didn't see the I Know Who Killed Me, her last movie, but by all accounts, it was one of the worst films ever made.
Dave the King of Mexico said it sucked.
Wow.
I mean,
wow. He's horrible.
Yeah.
He has horrible taste in films. Beans people are in the news. Sean Johnson, Olympic gold medalist, 17-year-old gymnast, who's been appearing this season on Dancing with the Stars, had a disturbing run-in with a stalker yesterday. One of Bean's people, Robert O'Ryan, 34 years old, was arrested trying to sneak onto the set of Dancing with the Stars. Here's what Robert O'Ryan had in his car when the cops caught him and searched his car.
Good. I want to hear this because I think you're jumping conclusions as you always do. Just because a guy likes a chick doesn't make him a stalker, okay?
Okay. In the car, a loaded .45 caliber handgun.
Good.
A loaded shotgun.
Oh.
Could be a perfectly reasonable explanation for that.
Duct tape, zip ties, and a map to where she would be that day.
No. Oh, yeah. My God.
You are drawing all sorts of conclusions based on that list.
It's quite the frame up. Sean also has love letters that he was going to send to her, clippings about Sean, and other information about Sean in his car, this Robert O'Ryan.
He sounds like a fan.
Yeah, he is a fan. He says he thinks that she speaks to him through the television set and through ESP, and that she wants to have a child with him.
You don't know, man. That happens.
He stated he would be with her no matter what.
Wow.
Well,
good time.
Well, have we got a comment from her? How do we know this is not true?
That she's been sending him messages through ESP and through the TV?
Let's not jump to conclusions.
That's true. Could be my bad. They might actually be meant to be together. Like
a lot of things you can use zip ties for. A lot of things you can use duct tape for. I mean, mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean he drove to the set to kidnap her and put her in the trunk of his car.
That's absolutely true. How about the love letters and the ESP?
How about that? She should quit coming on to him so hard.
Through with her mind power.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why don't you back the F off if you don't want me coming back at you?
You tease?
That's right.
Remember at the Olympics when you were doing all those twists and stuff, and secretly you were telling me you wanted to have babies?
Yeah, don't show it to me like that on the TV if you don't want me to go for it.
Wear that spandex singlet. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
Probably best known as Mr. Spock. Probably best known as Mr. Spock. What am I saying? No, maybe he's better known for his work as the host of In Search Of.
Or his fat photography book.
Or his fat lady photography book. 78 years old today. Alan Arkin is 75. James Caan, 69
Caan!
Years. No, it's a different Caan.
Good delivery, though.
Caan! Dan! Dan!
I'm Billy Mays for Caan! That's what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Dan Ross is 65. Tyler, Steven. Now, who am I?
Durden? Tyler, comma, Steven.
Am I taking attendance? he is 61 years old today. Martin Short is 59. Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos turns 43. Amy Smart, who's just so delicious. Can we have her in for Crank 2? Can we have her in the studio and talk to her?
She's awesome.
She's the best. 33. And Keira Knightley from Pirates of the Caribbean turns 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, I've asked producer or production guy Omar to join us here in the studio this afternoon because... O is cranky about the weirdest things sometimes. We're all in the office yesterday laughing our asses off at this video that we found on YouTube of this Southwest Airlines flight attendant who's given the pre-flight announcements. And the beautiful thing about Southwest, and we've all flown it, is that they don't really stick to the script. I mean, they mix it up. They make it funny, right? They got little jokes. They sing little songs. This guy is outstanding, and Omar is raining down nothing but hate on the
First
dude.
Of all, not everyone was laughing, okay? First of all, it's not funny. It's very annoying.
Well, let me play it. Let me play it for the audience and see what they think. I mean, I got to give the guy a bunch of points at least for trying to mix it up and take something that's so boring that they're kind of obligated by law to do every time you get on a plane is explain how a seatbelt works. I mean, what could be more boring than that? But the guy's at least going out of his way, and you tell me what the problem is with this because I applaud the dude.
Good evening, folks. Welcome aboard Southwest Airlines Flight 372, service to Oklahoma City. So here's what I need, especially you guys in the front, because you know what's coming. All right, I need a beat. All I need you to do is stomp and clap, and I'm going to do the rest, because I've had five flights today, and I just cannot do the regular boring announcement again, otherwise I'm going to put myself to sleep. So, you guys with me? All right, so it's going to be a stomp, clap, come on, stomp.
Okay, so he's asking for a beat because he's going to entertain a little
bit.
Yeah,
let me enjoy my flight, mother effer. Don't ask me to work as soon as I'm trying to get situated and putting my things away. Seriously.
On.
But, he has to do the announcements. You can either
so get
listen
through
to-
it, and I just want to put my stuff away. You know, I want to be able to ignore you a lot easier than you shouting at me, hey, I need you to clap your hands and stop your feet. Shut up, dude. Just get through your announcements, do your thing, and serve me a drink.
Wow, you must be a terrible person to fly with.
No, I'm awesome to fly with. I want to get down there and party. Come on, I'm the best.
He's
Are you kidding?
The plane down.
Are you kidding? No, but he's asking me to stomp my feet and clap my hands. And you should see the video because there's like the geekiest white people, trying to keep a beat. And the look on their faces are like, oh my God, we have to do this because we don't want to make this guy feel like a douchebag. And you can hear his little cocky attitude. Hey, everybody, I don't want to go through the whole thing, so I'm going to do my blah, 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 blah. Shut up.
All right. Let's hear how his little song goes. Maybe that'll turn you around. Maybe you didn't want to participate,
okay.
But now it's so captivating that now you're glad you did.
All
here
right.
It is.
Clap, stomp, clap. They don't beat there. There you go. Keep that going. This is Flight 372 on SWA. The flight attendants on board serving you today. Teresa in the middle. David in the back. My name is David, and I'm here to tell you that. Shortly after takeoff, first things first, there's soft drinks and coffee to quench your thirst. But
at this point, you hear the guy, and you go, well, I see what he's doing. It's fun.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Move on, all right? Stop it. Are you kidding?
Is it that it's? You think it takes more time if he does it?
It takes way more entertaining. It's way more time, but entertaining, really?
I got to agree with Omar. This is not the steward or stewardess's opportunity to hit up open mic night.
Right.
Just tell me where the goddamn exits are so I can ignore you more and then go on with my flight.
But if you want another kind of drink, then just holler. Alcoholic beverages will be $4. If a Monster energy drink is your plan, that'll be $3 and you get the whole can. We won't take your cash. You got to pay with plastic. If you have a coupon, then that's fantastic. We know you're ready to get to new places. Open up the bins, put away your suitcases.
He's talking about the drinks, talking about your luggage.
I have just learned things about the drinks that I never knew
before. By the way, this guy is the whitest black dude ever, okay? His rhymes blow.
Well, that's what it is. You're talking from DJ Omar Khan's perspective.
You know, I got the rapping skills.
Right, exactly. This doesn't cut it in the Kanye world, is what your basic complaint is. The guy's not quality. He's not talented enough to be rapping on an airplane.
Let me sit down. Let me get to my iPod. Let me get my drink. Watch my DVD. Whatever I need to do.
I got to say, it's tough. It's a tough world to live in, man, where you go out of your way above and beyond the call of duty. You don't just do the boring old job in a boring old way. You try to make it entertaining for the people that are there.
If I was on this guy's flight, you know the first thing I would say? I have a bomb!
Well, famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ, Kevin and Bean. In the afternoon, we call it Cinco de la Tarde. By the way, tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, check this out, you guys. Comedian Kevin Nealon is going to be here.
Oh, nice.
Love him.
Also, actress Emily Blunt.
Oh,
from the new film that Ralph has been raving about, currently in theaters, called Sunshine Cleaning. We got the movie beat because it is Friday. We also got the guy who has a nationwide petition, hundreds of thousands of signatures he has collected already, to do what with? To try to get Barack Hussein Obama to turn over his birth certificate to prove that he's eligible to be president of the United States.
Finally, somebody's putting this guy's feet to the fire. I'm tired of him walking around here all presidential.
Acting like a president.
I agree. Being a citizen.
Pretending like he's an American in some jugs. So anyway, all that tomorrow morning. But before we go this afternoon, how about one more look at the showbiz beat? Here's our friend Ralph Garman.
Chris Brown, you better look out, son.
Uh-oh.
Why, what?
Rihanna got some new tattoos this week. Three new tattoos that we know of. All of guns.
Yeah.
Really?
Two on her shoulder blades and one under her arm. Wow. Yeah. Gonna pop a cap in your ass, boy.
Yeah.
As soon as she gets some real guns, yo.
Click clack.
Patty whack.
What are you guys talking about?
You're not down with us. You don't know.
You weren't born on the streets.
You're not
bitch.
In the streets slinging yayo.
Neither are you, by the way.
That's what you think, Lisa.
You don't know.
So she won't testify. But
grew up
she'll
on the mean
some
streets
guns.
Of Pasadena. I was born in Philly, yo.
What would a psychiatrist say about the message that we should get from these gun tattoos?
I mean, Rihanna has nice.
Okay, well. That may be true, but I don't think that's what I'm asking, though.
Oh, I think
is this
your point.
You think this has anything to do with her fighting back, maybe, somehow, or what's going on?
I don't know. I don't know what anything about these two. They're just nuts.
They're honked up.
I am not in the honked up business. So I'll leave you to make your own decisions, America. The Farrelly brothers have announced who they'd like to cast in their Three Stooges movie. Several other reputable sources, like the New York Times, MTV.com, and other news sources are saying the Three Stooges, those hilarious masters of physical comedy, will be played by Jim Carrey, Sean Penn, and Benicio Del Toro.
All right, that's the joke cast list. Now, who are they really going to get for the movie?
Benicio Del Toro is Mo, Sean Penn is Larry, Jim Carrey is Curly. On whatwouldtylerdurdendo.com today, they said, for years, Hollywood's been trying to make a Three Stooges movie, but they had to wait until they found the right actors who were good at physical comedy. They couldn't find them, so they're making it anyway. And these are the three.
I think Jim Carrey, I think, really is too over the top to play a stooge.
Yep.
Don't you?
Absolutely. Too out of control.
And no one seems to be able to rein him in.
Yeah, the other two guys, I can't picture that, but they are both great Oscar-winning actors, so you got to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt that they can do it.
But if this goes into a theater, how can you not see it? You have to, right?
Yeah.
Just to see?
Yes. I guess.
I also wonder, and maybe it doesn't matter, maybe with those stars and with the Farrelly brothers' name on it, it won't matter, but there have to be millions of moviegoers out there who have never one time seen the Three Stooges, much less have enough of an attachment or interest in this project to be excited about it.
Yeah, I guess they don't really rerun them on television anymore like they used to, do they?
No.
Yeah, we'll wait and see.
And the lineup for the 2009 Vans Warped Tour has been confirmed.
What?
Top names include Bad Religion, NoFX, Under Oath, Thrice, Less Than Jake, Shooter Jennings, and many, many more. This is the 15th edition of the Traveling Rock Show. 46 dates are on the schedule. Tour kicks off on June 26th in Pomona and visits cities all over America until it comes back around here to Southern California in August and ends up in Carson. For all the info, you can go to warpedtour.com and find out if your favorite band's going to be playing. But it sounds like a pretty good lineup so far.
Mm-hmm. Pomona, can't go wrong with Bad Religion.
Pomona in late June. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Breezy.
Smell that?
Oh. Smell 70. That,
yeah.
It's a day at the beach. 70.
It smells like patchouli and crack. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Leonard Nimoy is 78 years old today.
What was that?
It's the worst.
What was that?
That's
come on. That's pretty good.
No one watches. What was that? Alan Arkin, 75. James Caan, 69 years old.
Caan!
That's even worse.
Caan! All
right.
Dinah Ross is 65. What are you, 4 years old?
I laughed. I did something.
Dinah Ross is 65. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 61. Martin Short is 59 years old today. Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos, played Christopher on that fine drama, is 43. James Iha from Smashing Pumpkins is 41 years old today. Amy Smart from Road Trip and Felicity and Crank, 33. And Keira Knightley.
Oh.
I'd like Keira Daly and Knightley. You know what I'm saying? Woo! She's 24 years old today. I am Ralph Garman, and I do indeed walk the showbiz beat.